जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी हरशील प्रभुपाद जय ओम नितिलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమున మాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్తవృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ 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 గురువు శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ శిష్యుల ప్రభుపాద నమామిష్ణు పదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ బూదలి శ్రీ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనాశలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మిలితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుధాపదకమలం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావదూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాన్ సమర్పణాన్వితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిధి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవీం గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశతారిణే నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతీ నామినే శ్రీవర్షభానవిదేవి దైదాయ కృపాబ్దయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయినే ప్రభవే నమః యోజ్వల ప్రేమాద్య శ్రీరూపానుగభక్తిద శ్రీగౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనధారిణే రూపానుగవిరుద్ధావసిద్ధాంతధ్వాంతహారిణే గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబరసాంబోధే పదాంబుజాయే నమః నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ నామిని గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపనుగమరాయే గౌరావిర్భవభూమే స్వం నిర్దేష్టా సజ్జనప్రియాః వైష్ణవసర్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయే నమః వంశకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధూభ్యైవ చ పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమో మహావదాన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గురుత్వశే నమః పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం శాత్వికం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే పురతోపంగోర్మ మందమదేర్గది మత్సర్వస్వపదాంభోజౌ రాధామదనమోహనౌ దివ్యవృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమన్రత్నాకరసింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీశీరాధాశీలగోవిందదేవౌ ప్రేష్టాలిభిః సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి శ్రీమన్రాసరసారంభి వంశీ పుడతటస్థిత ಕೃಷನ್ ವೇಣುಸ್ವ ನಿರ್ಗೋಭೈರ್ ಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ರೀಯಸ್ತು ತಪ್ತಗಾಂಜನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುರೇ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ So, yeah. We are discussing only chapter 8, 8th chapter, and we have spoken about this verse. Which one? The fifth one, isn't it? Andhakaleja mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yaprayadisa madbhavam yadi nastyatra samshaya. And whoever at the time of death quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Krishna is saying of my nature. That's what he's saying. He says, my nature. There's no doubt about that. He says, in other words, what is Krishna's nature? Spiritual. That will be our nature then, when we leave the material body. That's what he's saying, that you will reach the spiritual nature. Mainly because we sometimes read and think certain things in our own way. We make it up. And that is always a problem. Like, for example, you can see these prayers what we have recited now. The first verse is saying, Om Ajnana Timirantasya. It means that our problem is Ajnanam. Ajnanam means avidya, ignorance in us. That is our main problem. There is no other problem. Because of avidya, we do many things, wrong things we do. We act in the wrong way. And we tendency to commit mistakes and cheating and all sorts of things due to avidya only. There is no other reasons. So sometimes you can see that one or two things which are very strongly has to be spoken against. Particularly, people generally say that in spiritual life you have to be very sincere, they say. Isn't it? Always you will hear this again and again repeatedly told. But once you come to spiritual life, if there is no knowledge, you have to keep saying this. You have to be sincere. People have come to spiritual life because they are sincere. That's why they have come. There is no other reason for them to come to spiritual life. But the interesting thing is that because this, somehow or the other, this terminology of being sincere has come to, while talking to people, they say that you have to be sincere. Sincerity has no meaning. It is a mental thing it is, this sincerity. Everybody is sincere to some degree or the other. Why we make this sincerity a big thing? It has no meaning. In fact, to make it very clear, in one instance, a question was asked to Prabhupada about this. Because generally, these things like sincerity and all these things are mental concoctions. It has no meaning. Spiritual life, sincerity has no meaning actually. Everybody who has come to spiritual life is sincere. That's why they are there. There's no other reason to be there. So, Achyutananda asked Prabhupada, if a man says, I am giving you this donation because it is a spiritual organization, but if the money is misused, does that man benefit? This was the question in 1976 in Mayapur. Achyutananda asked this question to Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, if money is misused, then both of them become implicated. If it is not used for Krishna, then both of them becomes under the laws of karma. Prabhupada's answer to that. Okay. Then Achyutananda says, but the man is sincere. Prabhupada says, well, this word sincere, there is no meaning. He's saying, there is no meaning because these are all mental concoctions. But I keep hearing this, you have to be sincere, you have to be sincere. What does it mean? Sincere means, these are all mental concoctions. There is no meaning. This man is good, this man is sincere, this man is bad, this man is this, this man is that. They are all mental concoctions. Only good is he who is genuinely Krishna conscious. Otherwise, they are all rascals. That's what Prabhupada said at that time. So, I'm saying this because often we hear this about sincerity. Somebody, they make judgment. Somebody is not, I'm sincere, you're not sincere. Who got the right for me to say that to anybody? Nobody can. Ultimately, it is Krishna who is dictating everything from within. So, who decides that who is sincere and who is not? It is not due to any other ring. It is due to ajnanam. Avidya inside. They have not understood who is saying this. That avidya works in different ways. In spiritual life, sincerity hasn't got much meaning. It is avidya or vidya, one of these. Ajnanam or jnanam. If you have the knowledge, you will act properly. If you don't have the knowledge, you will act in the wrong way. There is no question of sincerity there. That's one thing. Secondly, you will also see that often we will talk about these things. Quite often you hear this, that's why I meant to say this. The offenses. This offenses is another one thing. Knowingly, nobody will go and commit offenses. He is doing it only because of ajnanam, avidya inside. Ignorance inside, he does something. That is not to be taken so seriously because in ignorance, we do so many things. Right from the day we came to this world, we have been doing things all in ignorance only. Isn't it? So that is not to be taken so seriously because that is not going to solve the problem. That you can't engineer your whole life based on offenses. You won't be able to do anything in this world. Sometimes due to avidya and mainly due to avidya, we do things which will become, sometimes somebody else will take it as offense, somebody else may not take it as offense. That again depends on the person. So they are not important factors. Sincerity, committing offenses and all that, they are not important. They are all mental concoctions at the end. Krishna also says that in the Bhagavadam. That gunam, dosham and all is in your mind. It has nothing to do with the reality, with the truth is concerned. So, when we are talking about this on last Bhagavad Gita class, we mentioned there also that that in experiential level, inside you have to understand everything what is spoken. If it is not experienced, all this has no meaning. It remains on a theoretical level. So, so in Srimad Bhagavatam, when in case of Prahlada, it was spoken that that whatever Prahlada is seen was Krishna, Narayana Swarupam, isn't it? He mentions there. So when he starts seeing everything as Krishna Swarupam or Narayana Swarupam, at that time that he does not have another object in this world. A second object doesn't exist for him. And that is exactly what is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. We saw that in the 7th chapter. Bhunam Janmanam Ande Jnanavan Mam Prabhadyade. That verse. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahalma Sudurlabha. It means that you don't see anything, everything as Krishna Swarupam, Narayana Swarupam, in other words. So, in order to that to happen, there should not be a second object in this world. As long as you are seeing there is a second object, that Narayana Swarupam will go. Krishna Swarupam will go away. Vasudeva Sarvamiti won't happen. Vasudeva Sarvamiti means Krishna is soul, isn't it? Spirit soul. Spiritual is his nature. When we see that spiritual nature in everything in the creation, then it is Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Otherwise it is not. But the problem is that it is easy to say, but the dvaidam inside us will keep cheating us all the time, the duality in us. So that is why it requires a whole life practice to come out of this duality inside. Everything what Krishna has spoken in the Ekadasha Skandham in Bhagavad Gita, if you look, you will see one thing. Krishna is saying to us, try to bring it all together into the spiritual level all the time, isn't it? He mentions also in the Bhagavadam, Kim badram, kim abadram va, dvaidasya vastu na kiyal, വാചോദിതം തദനൃതം മനസോധ്യാതമേവ വെരി ഓപ്പൺ സ്റ്റേറ്റ്മെൻറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ടു അസ് ദാറ്റ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഗുഡ് ആൻഡ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് റോങ് ബാഡ് ഹിയർ ഓഫ് ദി എൻഡ് കിം ഭദ്രം കിം അഭദ്രം വ ദ്വൈതസ്യ വസ്തുനക്കിയൽ ബിക്കോസ് യു ആർ സീയിങ് സംതിങ് ഗുഡ് ആൻഡ് ബാഡ് ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദ്വൈതം ഇൻസൈഡ് ഇൻസൈഡ് ഈസ് ഫുൾ ഓഫ് ദ്വൈതം ഡ്വാലിറ്റി ഇൻസൈഡ് ദ്വന്ദ്വം ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് സോ വി ഹാവ് സേ വി ആർ സേയിങ് ദറ്റ് ദിസ് ഈസ് ഗുഡ് ദിസ് ഈസ് ബാഡ് ദിസ് ഈസ് റൈറ്റ് ദിസ് ഈസ് റോങ് ഹി ഈസ് നൈസ് ഹി ഈസ് ബാഡ് ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ബട്ട് ദ്വൈതസ്യ വസ്തു ആൻഡ് വാചോദിതം തത് അമൃതം ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് എവർ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് കം ഫ്രം ദ മൗത്ത് ഈസ് ഓൾ ലൈ ഹി സേസ് അമൃതം മനസ്സോധ്യാതമേവ ത്രൂ യുവർ മൈൻഡ് ആൻഡ് ഇൻ്റലിജൻസ് യു ആർ കോൺകോക്റ്റഡ് സംതിങ് ആൻഡ് യു ആർ പോറിങ് ഇറ്റ് ഔട്ട് ത്രൂ ദ മൗത്ത് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് നോ വാല്യൂ So that is where authority of Shastram is important. Because if we do not hold on to Shastram, everything is mental concoction. Rest everything. It's completely mental concoction. That is why even while talking to others also, we should not look into how that person will think about us. What he will, whether he will feel good or bad about us. But you have to speak what is Krishna saying there. Isn't it? Otherwise it doesn't make any sense. To please people to say something and then to talk about Shastram, that is no meaning. Because Krishna has already rejected that in the Bhagavad Gita. He is saying that Shastram iti mulsrajya vartade kamakarakat. Once you have desires inside, then you will start twisting the Shastram. You will start saying something different from the Shastram. So therefore, a stage has to come that the mind will not move under any circumstances. Whatever happens in this world, there should not any movement happen inside. You will see this in the in one of the Upanishads. It mentions that ഇറ്റ് ഇസ് ഫ്രോം ദി ശ്വേതാശ്വര ഉപനിഷത് ഇറ്റ് സേസ് ത്വം സ്ത്രീ ത്വം പുമാനസി ത്വം കുമാര ഉതവാ കുമാരി ത്വം ജീർണോ ത്വം ജീർണോ ദണ്ഡേന വംശസി ത്വം ജാതോ ഭവസി വിശ്വതോ മുഖാം ഇൻ ദിസ് ഉപനിഷത് ഋഷി ഈസ് സെയിങ് ടു അസ് ദാറ്റ് ത്വം സ്ത്രീ ത്വം പുമാനസി ത്വം കുമാര ഉതവാ കുമാരി saying to us, yes, you are not a woman, you are not man, you are not a young boy, or you are not a young girl. Tum jirno dandena vanchasi, nor you are an old person who is walking with danda in the hand. Dandena vanchasi. Tum jado bhavasi vishodo mukaha. Then, you have not taken birth also, and vishodo mukaha, and your existence is always permanent in this creation. So while saying these things in the Upanishads, the Rishi is saying to us that all the names and forms, Namarupam it is mentioned. In the Bhagavatam you will see this word very often used, Namarupam. Namarupam means name and a form. Namarupam Vihaya it says there. So all Namarupam is Krishna Swarupam. Is also Krishna Swarupam. So, this understanding or this realization, it has to happen with everybody. It has to happen with everybody. Not only those people whom we like, but on those whom we don't like also, we have to have the same connection. Every time when we see somebody is acting, which we feel is not proper, even our own calculations, it's not proper. Even if it's wrong, the way Krishna is saying, or Upanishad's Rishi is also saying to us, that try to see that Antaryami inside that person is forcing him to do it that way. If you take it that way, this will not bring a disturbance inside. Because otherwise we may have to say this all the time about many, many things in this world. It is the Krishna himself is within that person, is forcing him to do that, act in that way. Everything is like that. Now, does that mean that you shouldn't say anything about anybody, anything? No, that's not what it means. It means is that as much as possible we should journey, make the spiritual journey in through the eyes of the Shastram. Otherwise it will complicate things. Move away from the Shastram and then we start doing things, then it will become very misleading and also won't get us to the realization what we want from the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita. Because Bhagavad Gita's message is very direct and simple that way, that Krishna expects us to be on board with him when he is telling us Bhagavad Gita. He doesn't want us to make it complicated unnecessarily. So that is why it mentions there that it is easier, say for example, suppose you have some, you are happy with a few people, some people whom you are happy with, you are, there is priyam towards others. It may be possibly easier to see Bhagavad Swarupam, Krishna Swarupam in that. You can recognize that Krishna is present in there and therefore the priyam is coming from inside towards Krishna there. But sometimes you find it very difficult with whom you have dvesham. Dvesham means hate or anger. To see Bhagavad Swarupam is a bit difficult. It's very, very difficult. So therefore, Brahmajit Brahma Bhuvanam Brahma Bhuta Paraha Paratmaha Brahmanam Brahma Shatruhu Brahma Mitra Bhandavaha. Yoga Vasishtam says that everything you have to see it as a Brahman, but you should not discriminate that this is my friend, this is my enemy. If that comes, it is very difficult. What does it mean to see Krishna Swarupam or Bhagavad Swarupam, everything? Means, it means that, does it mean that whomever I don't like, or like means due to my own vasanas inside, that I go to him tomorrow and says to him that I should make friendship with him and try to tell him that, look, I don't hate you anymore. From now on, we are friends and all that. No, that's not what it means. Because what it means is that, that means that whatever that is creating any movement inside us, if it is creating a movement inside or any emotions inside, see that as Atma Swarupam. That means, where is this emotion coming from? It's coming from the soul, isn't it? Atma Swarupam it is. Atma Swarupam. That means to take that it is also coming from the same source. A love or the hate also is coming from the same source. When do they get the same feeling that's coming from inside, from towards a person? When we are projecting on someone, what will happen at that time is that it mixed with our vasanas inside. And accordingly, we will react with that situation. But we don't realize it that it's also coming from the same source inside. So you can see the problem. Sometimes attachment is more problematic than aversion, isn't it? Attachment is more problematic than aversion. So suppose you don't like somebody, you can go away from here, avoid him, and that way you may be able to forget that person. You may be able to forget that person if it is not very intense. The hate inside is not very intense. But if you are attached to someone very intensely, then the thoughts will keep coming back inside the mind all the time. It will keep coming back and you won't see them as Krishna. You won't see them as Krishna. So, it is difficult when you have this intense attachment to somebody to see them as Krishna. Because that name and form will come inside and start influencing us very strongly from inside. So, due to knowledge, Krishna is saying, due to knowledge, you should go back to that yoga state. You should go back to that yoga state. So, just like if I'm seeing few people here, but I have to make sure that that impact should not happen inside me. Impact should not happen inside me. What is the way for that? There's only one way, that I have to see, I have to break through your body and see inside that person. Inside that person. Normally we'll go by the name and form, isn't it? Namarupam. Namarupam is what will straight away react with us. But therefore Krishna is saying that you have to break through that body and go inside just like we do take x-rays or MRI, you take it to see the inside of a person, isn't it? In the same way. So everybody, you have to break through and go inside, and or like a fruit, you peel off the skin and start eating the fruit in the same way. So you have to whenever you see a person, the body is that skin. You have to throw that body away from that person and able to take that person inside, who is inside there. That means that soul inside. And just like the examples given, all the jewelry is made of gold, isn't it? So similarly, the same five material elements is mixed up and different forms are made. Earth, water, air, ether and fire. So outside body should not be taken seriously. Outside appearance of a person. Outside appearance, the name, the form. Namam Rupam. Namam Rupam should not be taken seriously at all. And essentially we have to know, just like gold is an ingredient for all different kinds of things like chain, the bangles, the necklace and anklets and the belt and so many other things you make with the gold, but essentially the material is gold in everything. Similarly, that vastu is the same vastu in everything. In every person, always we have to think like that. The vastu is the same in everybody inside. External appearance and external form has no meaning. Only then the dvaitam will go from inside. If you hold on to namarupam, there will be problem. It will never come out from there. Namarupam will cause this problem always. So that's why it's mentioned. So in order that whatever, whomever person we see or whatever vastu we see, that not to have the impact of the acceptance of that person inside us, if you follow this approach, that the example given like this, to know that all material elements is only the body for everybody, but inside the person is more important. If you start developing that understanding, instead of the namarupam, name and form, then we can escape from this problem. Otherwise, it's not possible. So you can see this in the life of all the great Mahatmas, all the great Mahatmas. So how do you know that? Because you know this, that in many, many great personalities, they had very, very ferocious animals like tiger, lion and snakes. All of them, they seems to be peaceful in their presence. Is it not? They seems to be peaceful in their presence. Like you know that Jharkhand forest, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing through, all the tigers and lions were dancing with him. That story is there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, we wonder that, oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God, therefore he can do all this. No, it is not like that. That's not the reason behind it. Reason is this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not seeing them anymore as tigers and leopards and lions and snakes. He is not seeing the Namarupam anymore. That Namarupam has gone from inside. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not too worried about it, because he is only seeing Krishna Swarupam is there inside, that living in it. When that happens, when we look at somebody in that way, that person's reaction to us will also be in the same way. That's why these animals did not get frightened about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore they reacted very easily with him. This is in the history of so many people. You will see this happened. Many, many people. It has happened like that. Because of the spiritual realization inside. Namarupam has gone from them. Once the Namarupam goes, then you will see the person properly. In other words, you are seeing that person in the proper way. Up to that time, you are seeing only the Namarupam. Nothing else. You are not seeing the soul inside. So, realizing that the soul is present inside, that then this and the Namarupam will disappear at that time. Ravana Maharshi's case also, it was very well known that many two lion cubs, they used to come and sit with him in the sofa set. He had a sofa set and they used to sit next to each other on either side. And he used to pat them all day. Snakes used to come and he will tell them, go, they'll go away. These things do happen. This is not an unusual thing. Because due to jnanam, realization inside, They have gone that high that Namarupam is not anymore disturbing them. That's why when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you notice that when he was dancing in ecstasy, or at that time sometimes he fell unconscious. Normally, you are always conscious of others around you, isn't it? But he was not. He was not conscious of anyone who was present. Sometimes he fell because Namarupam has completely gone away from inside. In the Bhagavatam, you will see this in many places. Namarupam Vihaya, it says. Namarupam Vihaya. Shobhramarshi mentions this in the Bhagavatam. So, they are not seeing lion or tiger or cheetah or anything like that anymore. They are just not seeing that. Because their Jnana Drishti, Jnana Drishti means the vision through knowledge, has become so powerful inside. That's why that is. So, because of that, they are only seeing Krishna inside. That Antaryami inside, that's all they are able to see. They are not seeing the body anymore. Therefore, these living entities, they don't have to see. Where the animals don't have to see that. Animal starts movement inside, happens when you start moving inside. When in our mind, a fear, or any kind of, not necessarily either fear or any kind of movement happens inside us, immediately there the movement will happen. The animals will also move. So, and if you are not seeing their body anymore, they will be in a peaceful state. So, actually, more powerful is the person, not the person who is seeing, but the person whom you are seeing. The power is more affecting him than yourself. In the sense that even the scientists are now saying that in the nuclear science, they used to say that they always used to say like this, that whatever you are observing, in the science it is like that, isn't it? What you observe, that is taken very seriously. But now they are saying observer is affecting the observed. The observer is also affecting the observed. Science and scientists are also now talking about it. The rishis has found all this out long, long ago. They knew this. That there is an impact on the observer when he is seeing something. The observed object gets affected by that. This understanding. Observed object is affected by the vision of the observer. So, you may have noticed this in the olden days, not so much now that we started rejecting this. But long ago, when there is a big orchard where there is a lot of fruit trees and all, say, mango or something, and there's full of mangoes there, and they are waiting for the mangoes to become ripe. So people will be walking along that road. So what they'll do, they'll make some ugly form and hang it up there. The reason is that they say, they had that understanding that if you look at the mangoes and envy yourself, oh, such nice mangoes, you may come and the mangoes can be affected by that, the quality of the mangoes. Superstition or anything. People started thinking that it's all superstition. No. Because the ancient times, they knew this psyche behind it. That instead of, so they will put some funny form there. And so I'll tell people, you look at that rather than looking at the mango. So your attention will go on to that rather than the mangoes or the fruits. Similarly, when they build houses or something like that, people do all these kind of things. So, it is a psychological fact, and it's not a blind belief or anything. Similarly, equally, if jnanis or realized souls looks at us, it will have its effect on us. That's also there. If somehow or the other their attention falls on you, and by their very look itself, it will change inside. It will have its effect on us inside. So, because they do not see our body. They do not see our body. So, there is a story about one Chit Bhavananda. He talks about that. He mentions that he went to see his master. And he says, that he paid his respects to him with folded hands. He fell down and paid his respects to him. But the way Chidbhananda says there, who is a sannyasi from another order, he says the way he received us was such that we felt that we are in the presence of a great sage, in the presence of a great sage. And as soon as they got there, he says, we started experiencing an unusual happiness and peace inside. And peace inside. These things must happen, otherwise it's not spiritual anymore. It's not spiritual anymore. So here you can see that they started experiencing, they give a definition that he says at that point, Chidbhananda says like this, only then I started realizing what Adhyatma Jnanam means, what spiritual knowledge means. I started realizing it, he said, in the presence of that his great master. When he sat there, the master's presence was sufficient. It brought him a great happiness and peace inside. He says, I started realizing what spiritual knowledge means. Spiritual knowledge means, he says. So, when they receive somebody, they are not just accepting a guest. On the other hand, when they look at us, what actually happens is, Krishna who is within us, they wake them up. They wake up that person. And when they look at us, and at the same time inside, they are also seeing only Krishna's presence inside us. At that time, Krishna who is inside us, who is sleeping, he wakes up. He wakes up at that time. He woke up at that time, he says. So many, many great personalities are like that. They will, externally it may appear as though they are looking, but one look is enough, and that may sometimes wake up that divinity in the person. So, what is the difference between their looking and our looking? They do not see the body. On the other hand, for us, we always see the body. We don't recognize any time Krishna's presence inside, isn't it? So, this is a great austerity for us. Austerity means, we think normally austerity means not eating or standing in one leg and performing penances and all that, isn't it? But with all those austerities, you won't realize Brahman. Self-realization won't happen by those austerities. It won't happen. So, more important than that is this austerity. To separate Namarupam from a person and to start seeing, recognizing Krishna always inside a person. That is what he told Uddhava also, isn't it? In the Bhagavadam, you know what Krishna said to Uddhava at the end. He said that, Uddhava, whatever it may be, praname dandavad bhumo asha chandala gokaram. He says there, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, Krishna visrajyas mayamanansan drisham vridanja dehigim. Very beautiful verse. And so directly spoken to Uddhava. Visrajyas mayamanansan drisham vridanja dehigim. Praname dandavad bhumam ashva chandala ghokharam. He's saying, Uddhava, Krishna, this is the last instruction. He says, visrajyas mayamanansan drisham vridanja dehigim. Don't keep seeing, looking at people through the body. Move away from that. And then pay your obeisances. Then what happened is, whatever you had, whatever movement inside has happened in the mind, that will settle down there. It won't wake up again and cause problems. Visarjas samayamanansvan drisham vridamja dehigim. Praname dandavad bhumau ashva chandala ghokhayam. Krishna is saying to Uddhava. So, that was spoken in that verse 28, I think, when he's talking about the paramasatyam, absolute truth. That's what it's here. Yeah. So, he says there like that, isn't it? So, why does he say that? Because this is the same principle. Namarupam vihaya. Give up the namam, give up the rupam. Namam rupam has no meaning in self-realization. Namarupam must go from inside. Therefore, this is a sadhana and this is a tapas. This is a sadhana and this is a tapas. Now, these things are important because till we don't take all these things seriously, to some extent we have to keep on practicing it, we may not succeed all the time. Many instances, sometimes our vasanas will overpower that. We may not be able to do it all the time. But as much as possible, if you take it and practice it, you will see that it does make a difference in life. Krishna is saying this so seriously and saying to us, Uddhava, if you can't do anything else, at least these things you can do. Visarjas mayamanan svandrisham vridam cha dehigim. That dehi, that deham, effect of deham, that must go from inside. Because as soon as you meet another person, immediately we decide inside, is a good person or is a bad person? Is my friend or is my enemy? And accordingly we start dealing with that person, isn't it? That shouldn't happen, that's what Krishna is saying. If you want to go up spiritually, we have to do these things. If you want to go spiritually, better, feel better. Some realizations as to, if something, we may not go back home, back to Godhead, that's another thing. But till all these things are sorted. But these things is right now possible to do it. This doesn't require a lot of, particularly in special effort, isn't it? It's just that we understand it and we accept it inside. When we see others, Visarjas mayamanan svan drisham vridam ja dehigim praname dandavad bhumav asho chandala ghokaram. Krishna is saying that that the Krishna's point is that some people will make fun of us. They will look at us look down upon us, isn't it? Some people will look down upon us. They'll say, oh, who is he after all? They'll say like that. And he's a householder. He's caught up in the material life. He has not surrendered to Krishna. All kinds of things people will make up in their own way. So that problem is there. And somebody's higher, somebody's lower. Uttamam adhamam, that drishti. Somebody's higher, somebody's lower. Some judgment happens inside without our knowledge, isn't it? Uttamam adhamam, that drishti. And based on that, we make deal with people. Is it not? Although we don't say this to anybody, we'll smile and all that, but inside what goes on, he doesn't know what is. We decide, make our own judgment about others. Krishna is saying that Visarjas mayamanan svan drisham vridam cha dehigim. And because of that, let's just like you can see a dog goes through, or a donkey goes through, or a bull goes through, and we start thinking, oh, it's just a dog. Start thinking like that. That's not what has to go from inside. Because that form outside, and it's a dog, immediately brings a impact from inside. Oh, it's not anybody important. We don't have to take notice of it. Krishna is saying, so long as you're looking at the form of anything and the name of that particular object, then you are in trouble. So this is one sadhana Krishna has given to Uddhava before going to Badrinath. He said, you practice this all the time and keep it in your one of the sadhana. There are many other sadhanas he has given to him, but this is one of the sadhana he has given to Uddhava while going. You see how important spiritual life is to come out of all our ignorance. This is our ignorance, this is. And when you see people who are supposed to be helping others in spiritual life, when they started separating people and making these people are important, these people are not important. And if this is the way they are teaching spiritual life to others, you start wondering what they have understood. We have to say this. It is not a criticism to persons. But when we start seeing, especially even in temples, when we start making people separate all the time based on their financial muscle power, or their seva power, or their whatever power you have to control others, or whatever it is. And you start seeing, separating people like this, and if we are practicing spiritual life, have to say we have to be ashamed of that. We just have to feel ashamed, because we are moving away from Krishna, so far away, and so much ignorance and avidya in us. VIP treatment, VIP tents, VIP service, patents this, patents that. What an ignorance. The height of ignorance. And we complete as ignorant as they are, a part of that as well. We have to be blamed for that. This is ajnanam. This is called ajnanam Krishna is talking about. He says to Uddhava, Uddhava, you have to come out of these things. There is no, everything is a show now in spiritual life, is it not? Everything is a show now. And these things, the show will take, show won't take us there. Fundamental changes is Krishna is talking about in our vision of things. We start seeing people, somebody is important, somebody is not important. Who makes that decision? And that is why exactly the reason when Krishna puts some people sometime in spiritual life, from some unexpected corner in the world, a realized soul will come out, whom you never expected. And all these big organizations and traditions all just goes like that. This is history. This history also is like that. That's why it says here, Visarjas Mayamanan Swan Drisham Vridam. Based on Deham, based on the body, and based on their position in this world, if you start honoring people, that is the biggest blunder. With that, your spiritual life is gone. It's finished there. Drisham Vridam Jadehigim. Praname Dandavad Bhumav Asha Chandalavar. Krishna is not even saying that you pay obeisances to patrons or VIPs. He says you go and pay your obeisances to dog and cat and donkey. He says you pay your obeisances to them so that this Namarubam will go from inside. Namarubam will go from inside. This is the world today. So, yeah, Yavel Sarva, you can look at those verses. Either you take Shastram or you do what you like. That's all you can say about this. Krishna is saying, Yaval Sarveshu Bhudeshu Madbhavo Nobhajayate Tavadeva Upasidam Vamanakaya Vrthibhi. He says, Yaval Sarveshu Bhudeshu, in all living entities, till you do not Madbhavo Nobhajayate, till you do not see me there, till that time Tavadeva Upasidam Vamanakaya Vrthibhi. That you have to, till you get that point, till you start seeing that Krishna is presence in everyone, up to that time, Tavadeva Upasidam Vangmanakaya Vrittibhi. That he is, all he is doing, he has to do is, through his words, through his mind, through his activities, that he has to continue this process, till you get that. In another instance, in the third canto, Krishna puts it in a little bit more strongly, he says there. Because it is Uddhava, he didn't speak so strongly. But when Kapila Vasudeva, when Devahuti was there, Kapila Maharshi told Devahuti, he says, Maitreya Abhinyena Chakshusha, if you have that division between people, he mentions there that actually they are insulting me, he says. That's how he puts it. Krishna says, they are insulting me. I am sitting in them and they are insulting me and they are making the difference. He is right and he is wrong, he is good and he is bad. That's a Krishna's important question. You'll see that in the third canto. I think it is in the it's a very interesting verses they are, because they opens up our ajnanam very well and exposes us. Yeah, if you look into the verse 27, so 28, 42 and
27, yeah.
Just a minute. That is one. Sarabhudeshu jalpmanam, sarabhudani jalpmani. So many places you will see the same thing repeated again and again. As and when Shukha Brahmarshi gets an opportunity, he puts it in. He mentions there also, just one second. There he says in the verse 42, if you look into verse chapter 28, 328, 42. Sarabhudeshu jalpmanam, sarabhudani jalpmani. Ishadena ananya bhavena bhudeshu iva tadatmadam, he says sarvabhudeshu chaatmanam sarvabhudeshu sarvabhudani chaatmani ishadena ananya bhavena bhudeshu iva tadatmadam. You can read that verse also. That's also same thing. But there is another verse he mentions there that that is in relationship with the mentioned. He says there that and that is when he is talking about deity worship, he mentions that. He says this is so-called deity worship, he says, without recognizing me in anyone, you're actually insulting me with your deities, he says. That is in the, I'll just tell you that one second. No, one second. Maitreya abhinena chakshusha. Then athamam sarvabhudeshu bhudalmanam kritalayam arhaye dhanamanabhyam maitreya abhinena chakshusha. And 26, if you look, you'll see, what does he say? He says, almanascha parasya abhi ya karodi andaro udaram tasya bhinnadrusho mrityur vidhate bhayam ulbanam. The word. He says, Almanascha parasya abhi ya karodi andarodaram tasya bhinnadrusho mrityur vidhate bhayam ulbanam. He says, if you start seeing some difference between people or between yourself and that person, and that person, I will frighten that person to death later because of his bheda darshito. So seeing that somebody is on a higher plane and lower plane, all that kind of understanding. Since I'll create fear in his mind at later on, he says. And if you look verse number, so many verses there. Look, start from 21. If you look 21, Aham Sarveshu Bodeshu Bhudalpa Avastida Sada Tam Avajnaya Mam Martya Kurude Archa Vidambanam. 21. When aham sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalma avasthita sadha, I am always present in everyone as alma, present in that person. And he ignores me. Tam avajnaya mam martya. And then what does he do? He goes and does deity worship. Kurude archa vidambanam, he says. He says what he is doing there, according Krishna is concerned, that he is actually not understood me properly. He's not understood me. That's number 21. And then 22, he says, Yomam sarveshu bhudeshu sandam almanam ishwaram hitvama bhajade maudhyad basma anyeva juhotisa. So, when you start hating others, you are hating somebody, means you are hating Krishna in that person. And who is on the identification with the body, and you are seeing difference within the Veda Darshito. Veda Darshito means that you are feeling a difference between one person to another. Vedam, seeing Vedam, difference in one to another. And then he has got also inside hate. He will never come back to me, he says. Krishna saying that. Dvushada Parayama 23. Manino Bhinna Darshina Bhudeshu Buddha Vairasya Na Manashandi Mrachari, he says. Then such a person, Dehabhimani, Bhedadarshi, and who is always hating me, such a person will never find any peace or happiness inside. And Aha Mucha Vajardrave Kriya Ulpanayanakhe Naiva Dushi Archido Archaya Buddha Gramava Maninam. So, even if he does his best deity worship, because he is like that inside, I will never be pleased with his deity worship, he says there, like that. And so all those verses, you can see from verse 21 onwards, right up to 27, 6, 7 verses, Krishna is talking about the same thing, of seeing this important sadhana, what he mentions to Uddhava also, that is to not to make any, in order that inside that shanti has to come, this realization is a must. There is no escape from that. This can be practiced now. This doesn't have to happen till death. It's not, spiritual life is not just going back home, back to Godhead. Before that, there's a lot of things to do prior to going from that. We made it so mechanical process, the whole thing. That's why it is like that. So, anyway, so this is example of the realized persons who have advanced in spiritual life. Never to show any disrespect to any living entity. All of them, Krishna is present inside. That recognition is what Krishna likes that. So they, what they have done, that you may perform a lot of austerities and penances, as we mentioned before, that fasting a lot or performing all other kinds of penances. But that may be a kind of tapasya. Tapasya means austerity. But because of all that tapasya, Brahman realization won't happen. Realization won't happen. So this one tapasya Krishna is talking about, that is that from as soon as possible, if you take this approach that I will try to see Krishna's presence in other living entity and keep up that understanding inside and deal with people, we may not succeed all the time, but still to a large extent that Veda Buddhi will go from inside. That is the benefit from that, and we have to remove it that way. We have to remove that Veda Buddhi from inside. Because every time when we see a new form, we will forget this. We will forget this because that is Maya's job. Maya does that. We see one person and somehow we manage to think that, oh, Krishna's presence in that, not to take it other way. So dvandvam or dvaidam or this dvaita buddhi must go from inside. And when we go on experimenting with different people, people have done experiments with all this. Kudalu was a famous Bhagavata scholar. Ekadasha skandam, he completely studied and drunk it, you could say like that. To such an extent, he realized that in his life. An old Brahmana who lived about 100 years ago. And finally, he wanted to verify this. Is what Krishna is saying is all correct. Because he cultivated this all the time in his life at the temple. Many people come to the temple. Some of them important people, as we call today VIPs. Somebody of them not VIPs. Some of them VVIPs. We classify all that, isn't it? We put them into different boxes. And we decide. We are the one who are deciding. Because one is giving more money, other one is not giving any money. That may be the reason behind it, I suppose. I don't know. Or we want some favor from one and we don't want any favor from the other. Whatever it is. So what happens? Dvaita Buddhi keeps on growing inside. This is what will happen. Dvaita Buddhi keeps building up inside. So he was not like that. He was, although born in a very aristocratic and a rich Brahmana family, he dealt with everyone in this understanding. Openly with people. And many people used to criticize him for that. Mixing with people whom were on a low level. But he has gone far beyond the others. That he was experiencing this. And one day he said this, that I wanted to experience this. People were also making fun of him about it. That he went to the deity, in front of the deity, paid his obeisances to the deity. And when he paid his obeisances, what happiness he felt inside. He wanted to see if the same thing is happening while paying obeisances to a cat or a dog or an elephant, which he did later. And he found that he felt exactly that same, because Antaryami will respond from within when you come to that stage. What Krishna will respond from the deity form, the same response will come from the Antaryami, from another living entity. And he vouched and mentioned this in his realizations that it is absolute thing what Krishna has spoken. And there are many, many other great persons who have followed that route. To remove this namarupam from inside, name and form inside, it's a big part of our sadhana. To remove the namarupam from inside. And unless namarupam goes from inside, it will not work. It simply won't work. It cannot work. So Maya knows this. This is one way of Maya tricking us. Maya, what it does to us is that Maya knows that we will say all these things, but by the time you get out from this room, you will forget it. Because Maya knows when to pull the shutter. When to pull the shutter. And she knows when to put the shutter in the ears or when to put the shutter in the eye as well. So, you can see also this. Suppose you have brought somebody forcefully, pushed him to come and ask him to sit here. Suppose you brought someone with you to come and listen to Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. And you told your friend somebody, you come and listen to Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavad Gita. You brought him here. But even if you brought him here and forced him to sit here, that person's prarabdham does not allow that Bhagavad Gita to go in, if the prarabdham doesn't allow, at that time, Maya will pull the shutter. This is how spiritual life is. That means that if his prarabdham is against that, he is not supposed to have it, even if you have brought him here and made him to sit there, when something is spoken important, he will fall asleep. He will fall asleep. Either he will pull the shutter in the eye or he will put the shutter in the ears. One way, somewhere or the other, he will pull the shutter. So, that activity to safeguard that activity to safeguard is the job of the Antaryami inside. Antaryami will do that. Antaryami will safeguard that. Antaryami knows that this person's prarabdham is strong. He has to allow the prarabdham to go through first. Prarabdham gets the priority. So prarabdham will do that. Similarly, you can see here. And similarly, Antaryami, equally it will safeguard the avidya as well as the vidya. The knowledge as well as the ignorance. Both the Antaryami will safeguard that. Antaryami will safeguard that. So, when that message gets in and if it starts working, when it is meant to happen, only the knowledge goes in and it will start working. Only then it will start working. So, this is the only reason that spiritual knowledge, if you make it propaganda, it won't have much of a success. It won't much of a success. Many other things, for example, you can put billboards and big advertisement you can make, it may work. But spiritual knowledge is like this. Cars, air conditioners and washing machines, dishwashers, all that you can advertise and propaganda, you can make big propaganda in television and through billboards and all that. You may sell more. Spiritual knowledge, no. Because this problem is there. Antaryami inside has to decide that this person is ready. He is free from his prarabdham. Only then it will get in. Otherwise it won't get in. This is how it is. Otherwise it won't get in. Even if you bring people and sit there, they will fall asleep at the time when you say something important from Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavad, you will go to sleep. Or something will happen. Or sometimes if the prarabdham is very strong, you may not even get to come here or to hear anything from the Bhagavad Gita. That is the way it operates. So that is the reason why jnanis, highly realized souls, they don't go into propagation so much. Because they know very well, only when it is meant to go inside, it will go. Otherwise, it won't go. So, and if they are meant to happen, from somewhere, it will come and fall into the ear. So, Otherwise, if we invite some 10,000 people and make propaganda of that, still what will happen is, just like a safe at home, the steel door, similarly, the steel door inside will close so that nothing will get inside. So it will not get inside. You can teach people anything, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, or Upanishads, Viveka Chudamani, anything you can teach people, but they will hear that and they may repeat it like a tape recorder. Repeat it like a tape recorder. But nothing will go from the head to the heart. Nothing will go from the head to the heart. And why? Because that person inside here, he'll make sure that it doesn't come down. He'll stay in the head itself. So, because if it comes inside, his prarabdham will not happen. Prarabdham will not happen. So, prarabdham will not happen. So, you can see this. Krishna instructed Arjuna, Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? And then Krishna deliberately put the shutter for a while in Arjuna. After Mahabharata war was over, Krishna pulled the shutter, that knowledge, not to work through Arjuna. So eventually he opened it up again. How is that? That you will see in the Bhagavatam, if you look, that after Krishna's departure, Arjuna was traveling from Dwaraka to Hastinapur. On the way, the cowherd boys came and attacked Arjuna. Arjuna couldn't fight with them. He lost it. And they took all Krishna's queens away and they went away from there. Krishna got to Hastinapur. Yudhishthira Maharaj asked him what happened. Arjuna says to him, Krishna has cheated me, he says. He has left without telling me, and he has left, and now I am in trouble. How am I in trouble? He says to Yudhishthira, that all this time I was thinking that I had some special power, but now I started realizing it was not my power, it was Krishna's power that was happening through me during the war, and now I think he has withdrawn that from me, he says. He says, because he couldn't even fight with the cowherd boys, what to talk about the fighting in the battlefield. So Arjuna says there, that something has happened, that he has withdrawn everything from me. Now I'm completely lost, he says. So at that time, he goes and sits in alone. And then he starts thinking what Krishna has told me in the battlefield. If you look into the first canto, he mentions this. He says there, if you look into the 15th chapter, that is what is known as Mahaprasthanam. Mahaprasthanam means Pandavas leaving the world, going back to the spiritual world. They are turning back. So one after the other, they all walked out from home. They told Parikshit, now you manage the kingdom, we are going, they said. So while going, if you look into the verse number 30, in verse chapter 15, 1:15:30. There, Arjuna is saying, Arjuna mentioned about all what happened to him, to Yudhishthira. And Suda Goswami mentions there that Arjuna was in a very desperate state after Krishna left. And he says that he sat down and then verse 30 if you read, Gidam Bhagavada Jnanam Tatal Sangramamurdhani Kalam Karmam Tamo Yuddham Punarad Jagamadvibhu. Gidam Bhagavada Jnanam Yatal Sangrama Murdhani. Arjuna remembered what Bhagavad Gita. What is Bhagavad Gita? Jnanam. Knowledge it is. Gidam Bhagavada Jnanam. Bhagavad Gita Jnanam. That came to Arjuna's mind. Arjuna started thinking about it and this was stopped in not coming in Arjuna's thoughts. Knowledge was there, but in practice it wasn't happening in Arjuna. It was stopped by, he says, Kalam Karmam Tamo Yuddham. Time, space, Kalam, time, Karmam. തപോരുദ്ധം തപസ്, ഓൾ ത്രീ തിങ്സ്, തമോഗുണം ആൾസോ. ദീസ് ത്രീ തിങ്സ് ഹാസ് സ്റ്റോപ്ഡ് ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് നോളജ് ഹാവിംഗ് എനി ഇമ്പാക്ട് ഓൺ അർജുന. ഓൾദോ ഹി ഹേർഡ് ഇറ്റ് ഫ്രം കൃഷ്ണ ഡയറക്ട്ലി ഇൻ ദ ബാറ്റിൽ ഫീൽഡ്, വെൻ ഹി വാണ്ടഡ് ദാറ്റ് നോളജ് ഇറ്റ് ഡിഡ് ഇൻ ഹാപ്പൻ. ദാറ്റ്സ് വെൻ യു നീഡ് ഇറ്റ്, ഇസ് ഇറ്റ്? വെൻ യു ആർ ഇൻ സീരിയസ് ട്രബിൾ ഇൻ ലൈഫ്, ദാറ്റ്സ് വെൻ സ്പിരിച്വൽ നോളജ് ഷുഡ് കം ടു യുവർ ഹെൽപ്പ്. സ്പിരിച്വൽ അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡിംഗ്, പ്രോപ്പർ അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡിംഗ് ഷുഡ് കം ടു യുവർ ഹെൽപ്പ്. ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് ഡിഡ്ന്റ് കം ടു യുവർ ഹെൽപ്പ്, വാട്ട് ഇസ് ദ യൂസ് ഓഫ് ഓൾ ദിസ്? സോ ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ. ഗീതം ഭഗവതാജ്ഞാനം യത്തൽ സംഗ്രാമമൂർധനി കാലം കർമ്മം തമോരുദ്ധം പുനരധ്യഗമദ്വിഭു. ഹി സേസ് ഡ്യൂ ടു കാലം കർമ്മം തമോരുദ്ധം മീൻസ് ഭോഗ ആസക്തി, ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് എൻജോയിങ് സെൻസസ്, സെൻസ് ഗ്രാറ്റിഫിക്കേഷൻ. ഡ്യൂ ടു ഓൾ ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് നോളജ് വാസ് ബ്ലോക്ക്ഡ്. ഇറ്റ് ഡിഡ്ന്റ് കം ടു ഹിസ് ഹെൽപ്പ്. സോ ഇഫ് ദ നോളജ് ഹാസ് ടു കം ടു അവർ ഹെൽപ്പ്, ദെൻ ദാറ്റ് ഓൾസോ റിക്വയേഴ്സ് കൃഷ്ണസ് സാങ്ഷൻ. അന്തര്യാമി ഇൻസൈഡ്, ഹി ഹാസ് ടു സാങ്ഷൻ ദാറ്റ്. ഓൺലി ദെൻ ദാറ്റ് നോളജ് വിൽ കം ടു യുവർ ഹെൽപ്പ് വെൻ യു നീഡ് ഇറ്റ്, അതർവൈസ് ഇറ്റ് വോണ്ട്. ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് ഹസ് ഹാപ്പൻ ടു അർജുന. സോ യു ക്യാൻ സീ ദർ കാലം ഭഗവതാജ്ഞാനം തത്തൽ സംഗ്രാമമൂർധനി കാലം കർമ്മം തമോരുദ്ധം. സൈസ് ബ്യൂട്ടിഫുൾ വേർഡ്സ്. ഇറ്റ് സൈസ് ദാറ്റ് ഹൗ ഭഗവത്ഗീത ഹാസ് ഇമ്പാക്റ്റഡ് ഓൺ അർജുന. വെൻ കൃഷ്ണ സ്പോക്ക് ഭഗവത്ഗീത ടു അർജുന ഇൻ ദ ബാറ്റിൽ ഫീൽഡ്, എവറിഥിംഗ് വാസ് വെരി ക്രിസ്റ്റൽ ക്ലിയർ ടു അർജുന. ഹി ഫോട്ട് ദ വാർ വിതൗട്ട് എനി പ്രോബ്ലം. ആഫ്റ്റർവേർഡ്സ് ദേ വെൻറ്റ് അവേ ഫ്രം ദ ബാറ്റിൽ ഫീൽഡ് ആൻഡ് ദെൻ അർജുന തോട്ട്, ഓ, അർജുന ഹാഡ് എ ലിറ്റിൽ പ്രൈഡ്, ഐ എം ഹേർഡ് ഭഗവത്ഗീത ഫ്രം കൃഷ്ണ, ഐ എം ദ ഫസ്റ്റ് പേഴ്സൺ ഹു ഹേർഡ് ഓൾ കൈൻഡ് ഓഫ് തിങ്സ്. സോ ആൻഡ് കൃഷ്ണ ആൾസോ പുൾഡ് ഇറ്റ് ബാക്ക് ഫ്രം അർജുന ആൻഡ് ഹി ഡിൻ റിലീസ് ഇറ്റ് ടിൽ എ ലോങ് ടൈം. ദാറ്റ്സ് വൈ സെക്കൻഡ് ടൈം ഹി ഹാഡ് ടു ഗോ ബാക്ക് ടു ഭഗവത്ഗീത അഗെയിൻ ആൻഡ് കോൾ ത്രൂ ദ ഹോൾ ഭഗവത്ഗീത വൺസ് അഗെയിൻ ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ഹി കെയിം ബാക്ക് ടു ഹിസ് പീസ്ഫുൾ സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ലേറ്റർ ഓൺ. സോ യു ക്യാൻ സീ സോ വെൻ കൃഷ്ണ റിലീസസ് ഇറ്റ്, ഇറ്റ് വിൽ കം, അതർവൈസ് ഇറ്റ് വോണ്ട് ഹാപ്പൻ. And Krishna is not very particular that everybody should take it and realize it. That's also not going to happen. Some people, you can see that they will get affected by body or the mind or sleep or whatever. It will come and affect them. And some people, if you look, they will see that they haven't got it also. That also you can locate it at the time. So whatever it may be, whether it has gone inside or not, it will only go when it is meant to go. It's also good to know that. It will only go when it is meant to go. Something else will come and stop it otherwise. There is a time for that. Only then it will enter inside. So, even though it is like that, the understanding, for example, we studied Bhagavad Gita and you can only say you have understood, you realized Bhagavad Gita when this realization comes, which one, what we talked about now, that visrajasmayama anansvan drisham vridam jadehihim pranavedandavad bhumam ashwachandalakoharam. That stage, if that realization comes, then you can say that the message has gone in. If that has not happened, then that means it is still remaining here, it's not going down. Andaryam is blocking it inside. That's what is happening. So, for example, you mentioned there that that stage has to come, that it is only Krishna who is in all the living entities. Whether you see your children or grandchildren, or if you see a wife or wife sees the husband, whatever it may be, that Krishna's presence inside, we should be able to realize it at some stage. That means separately from Krishna, you should not see that person as the truth. That is important thing. That means once that vision comes, that means that there is no another truth outside Krishna. Krishna is present in all the body, isn't it? Every body. If you keep on working on it, you will notice that there is no another truth outside Krishna. At the moment for us now, there is so many truth in this world for us. But that has to go. The only truth is Krishna, and that Krishna is present in everybody. And separated from Krishna, there should not be another truth existing. That is dvandvam. If that happens, it is dvandvam. So, that is why it is mentioned here. So, what was the problem here? That in Bharata Maharaj's case, Bharata's case, you see what happened? If you do not see separated from Krishna another truth, then you won't fall like the way Bharata Maharaj has fallen. Do you know that, don't you? Bharata Maharaj fell down. What was that falling? He started seeing what was his problem. Problem was that in his meditations, he was fixed on the truth. He was fixed on the truth. But when he saw the deer, he saw another truth, separately from the truth what he was meditating upon. You see the point? That another living entity when he thought in himself, this deer I have to look after. Who else will look after? That means he has recognized the existence of another truth separated from Krishna. Inside it was all perfect. He was doing perfectly well. That he accepted the truth, performed all his sandhyavandanam, everything properly. But suddenly in his thoughts, this separated existence of the deer has come. He could not see. It is the same Krishna who is inside the deer also. That vision didn't happen. He fell. Immediately he fell. Isn't it? So, as long as the deer was a separate entity and instead of seeing the deer also as a Krishna's another manifestations, and he was getting attached to that aspect of it, to that deer. So, what did he do? He started seeing the deer as the deer and the deity he was worshipping as Krishna's form in the deity. He did not connect with the two together. He couldn't connect both. Otherwise, what is the use of this deity worship? We go to the temple, do the deity worship, and outside everything is separate for us. All different, everything is different. That's no use. So, this Bharata Maharaj story is a very interesting story for this reason, that when you start seeing a separate existence of the any other form, name or form in this world, separately from Krishna, then you will fall at the end. Because that form will come inside at the time of death. And it will pull you down. It will pull you down. Gone. With that gone. That's why when Krishna is saying that verse, which one? Andhakale jamam eva smarantitva kale bharam yaprayadi samalbhavam yadi nastyatra samshayaha. It is a sadhana in life, throughout life to follow and to make that as a perfection in life. If this does not happen, there is no chance of going back. It is as straight as that. If you allow any other namarupam to come back inside us at the time of death, like Bharata Maharaj did, we will also fall. There is no question. And the chances are that is what is likely to happen. More than anything else. So you can imagine how difficult it is. And this is why that verse is important. You have to really understand that verse, what is pointing at. The verse is telling us that andhakale cha mam eva smaran tyaktva kalebharam ya prayadi samalbhavam yadi nastyatra samshaya. In Bharata Maharaj's case, just a little bit of temporarily, or for a temporary time, a little bit of that influence came from the deer. And for a short period of time, he gone away from the realization what he had and fell into this form and name of the deer. That's what has happened, isn't it? Name and form, again. Namarupam has pulled him down. And when Namarupam pulled him down, he fell. So frightened about Namarupam was Jadabharata in the next life, you can see. Do you remember how careful he was in the next life, Jadabharata? Why was he careful about Namarupam? Namarupam he was careful about. How was he careful about Namarupam? He realized that I will not make the same mistake what happened in the last birth. What happened in the last birth? This is a story which requires a lot of deep introspection. Because through that one story, Krishna is going to tell us, Shukha Brahmarshi is also telling us, that if you don't make this a success in life, and if Jadabharata can fall, what chance has we got? That question is there in that. Back home, back to Godhead is not four words, huh? Back home, back to Godhead is easy to say like that, but when you see the subtlety of Bhagavad Gita's depth of subtlety of the Bhagavad Gita's message, that one verse, Andhakaleja Mameva Smaran Tiktua Kalebharam Yaprayadisam Albhavam Yati Nastyatra Samshaya. Krishna is saying there is no doubt about this malbhavam, that means spiritual nature. You will come back to your spiritual identity as long as these rules are followed. These rules are followed. So therefore, and what happened to, if you look about this, think about this again, Jadabharata's case. So he was going through his Sandhyavandanam, isn't it? Sandhyavandanam means that prayers what he had to offer at that time. And he had a form inside, attachment to that form, spiritual form of Krishna. He was meditating upon that. And in that meditation, he performed his Sandhyavandanam. But at the time of death, what happened? The attachment to the deer, it overpowered him and took control of him rather than the meditation what he was performing. Remember this, that he was remembering Krishna throughout life. The deer has come only at the last minute in his life, just probably a few days before. All through life he practiced Krishna consciousness. Time, few days before death, he got attached to this deer and the thoughts of deer overpowered him and pulled the other one down. That's what we are saying, that smarana, what has to come, memory, it has to come from Krishna's mercy, not by your, it is absolutely impossible to do it on your own. You can't do it. It has to happen by Krishna's mercy, grace, kripa. If Krishna desires, it will happen. But then the question comes, why did that not happen to Bharat Maharaj? Prarabdham. It says in the Bhagavatam very clearly. In the next life, he says, while talking to Rahugana, he says to him, Rahugana, in my first life, what happened? My Prarabdham was there. Therefore, even though I executed spiritual life, even though I executed spiritual life, he is saying, this has happened. And I can only say, he says, he doesn't know what it is, I had some prarabdham. So this is the best proof for that. That's why you may listen, but if it has to happen, inside, sanctioning required. Andaryami's approval is required. Otherwise it won't happen. This is the proof of that. This is the proof of that. Bhagavatam is a very, very amazing text in these things. Because what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, examples in the Bhagavatam to prove that to us. So, therefore, because of this, what did Krishna do? As soon as he appeared in this world, what did he do? That he told Vasudeva and Devi one thing very straight away. What did he say to him? He says to him, that you can love me if you like, that's okay, that's fine. But simultaneously with that, you have to have Brahma Bhavana inside. Otherwise, whole thing will misfire at the end. And that it did happen at the end. Isn't it? So, wherever you have attachment, he says, start thinking that it is Brahman, presence inside. Not once. Asakrat chindayo no kadasneho, it says. Asakrat chindayando kadasneho. That, for example, you can see this in the Bhagavadam, how Krishna puts it is, to Vasudeva and Devaki, he says to him that, if you look into verse chapter 3, verse 45, Krishna is saying, 10.3.45, Yuvamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena cha sakrata chindayando kridasnehau yasyede malgadim param, he says. Then, Yuvamam putra bhavena, treat me like your son, I have no problem with that, he says. You can treat me like your son. Now, remember this, that Krishna has said this at the immediately as soon as he came to this world. As soon as the Krishnavadaram, you will notice, in the third chapter is Krishna's appearance. Vasudeva glorified Krishna first, and then Devaki glorified Krishna. Isn't it? You can see Vasudeva's prayers, Vasudeva's stuti and Devaki's stuti. Both of them, one after the other. As soon as they finished that, Krishna started talking to him. And Sri Bhagavan Vaja, from verse 32 onwards is Krishna's verses. And there he is saying this. Yuvamam putra bhavena. You can treat me like your son. I have no problem for that, because that's what you are always wanted to me, have your as your son. But brahma bhavena chasakrit. Remember this, he said. Chandayando kridasneho yasyede malgadim param. He says, therefore he says, putra bhavam and brahma bhavam, and keep on thinking like that, and eventually then you will come back to me. Krishna didn't say you don't think of me as your son. You can do that. Putra bhavam is okay, but brahma bhavam should not be left. And what happened? Ultimately, only putra bhavam was there. Brahma bhavam didn't happen. And this is the reason in Ekadasha Skandam, in the 11th canto, you see, Krishna had to send Narada Maharshi again to bring Vasudeva and Devaki back to spiritual life. They were always thinking, ah, my son Krishna, such a nice person, is always with us. We don't need anything else. Krishna will take care of everything. Krishna says, no, I won't take care of anything till you also do what you have to do. That Brahma Bhavan they didn't cultivate. So they had to send Sri Narada Maharshi to Vasudeva and Devaki, and they had to talk about this Niminavayogi Samvadam completely, running up to 4 chapters. Narada Maharshi had to present it to Vasudeva and Devaki. After hearing that, Vasudeva and Devaki came to their senses from Narada Maharshi. So Bhagavadam is very perfect in that sense, that if something Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam, he means it. There is no concession there. That Brahma Bhavam is necessary. All these things are important steps in the spiritual life. If all this is practiced and struggled and done it in life, Krishna is saying that at the time of death, if Krishna is merciful, then he will bring us back that proper understanding to leave this body in a proper way. In which case you will escape, you don't have to come back again. That is the principle behind that. Andakale cha mameva smaran tiktva kalayabaram yaprayadi samal bhavam yati nastyatra samshaya. That is why he is saying it like that. So, take for example, suppose you are worshipping a deity. You worship that form, and after a while you start recognizing that deity is Krishna, isn't it? Or deity is another form of Krishna, Narasimurti or Vishnu or Shiva or whatever it is, some form, what you are worshipping, isn't it? So, suppose you have carved the deity out of a stone. You got a big stone, you broke it into two, and you made the deity from one part of the stone, and you are worshipping that deity, and you are standing on the other part of the stone, which was used to make the deity. So you are standing on that stone, and you are worshipping the deity, which was made from the same stone. But with the stone where you are standing, you are not feeling that, you are not thinking about that stone as good as the deity. There you are seeing Krishna, here you are seeing just a stone on which you are standing there at that time. So how does it come? It comes, that bhavam, how did that come? Due to upasana, sadhana or upasana basically. Upasana and anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means that constantly keeping that thoughts inside. There is Krishna, here is Krishna. Like that deity, you know, it is Krishna, it is Krishna. We keep on accepting that inside. That bhavam comes, that mood comes inside, isn't it? That mood comes inside. So similarly, in the same way, what we are doing with the deity, in all namarupam in this world, all living entities in this world, if we keep on remembering that Bhagavad Swarupam, Krishna Swarupam, that is, then what will happen? The same thing will happen. Eventually that realization will come. At the moment we are trying to do that with the deity, isn't it? The deity we are thinking, we are worshipping the deity, making so many arrangements for the deity. Five times they are cooking the prasadam, offering to Krishna. Three times they are changing the dress and putting Krishna to sleep. Everything people are doing in so many places and all over the world in the temples. Is it not? What understanding? Because we are taken that is Krishna, we are accepting that inside. And through our own sadhana and upasana and anusandhanam, pursuing that, keeping that in our heart, we keep on doing it. And it starts slowly, slowly it comes into our acceptance that Krishna is there in the form. Like Janmashtami day, so many people come to the temple. Why? Because they feel that Krishna is there in that deity, is it not? So they come with that understanding. Something inside there is saying that Krishna is there at the temple. They may not understand a lot, but they will at least on a very basic level, most of the people accept that Krishna is there in the temple. So, but if you look at that, it's marble at the end, isn't it? So same marble what's been used for so many other things. But still, what is that happen? What made that change to happen? Because you accepted it inside. Similarly, all living entities in this world also, if you keep accepting in that way, that Krishna is present in that person, this Namarupam will go away from inside. That's the only way you can do it. So, Namarupam, removing Namarupam from inside, name and form from inside, is an important sadhana for those who wants to go further in spiritual life. Other sadhanas are okay, that is only to help to but these are the principles underlined in there, that there is important that Namarupam must go from inside. So, therefore, just like you can see in the deity worship, they have the process of invoking the deity. We wake up the deity. Now, you know when you are waking up the deity, how much are we conscious of Krishna's presence there? We are chanting the mantram because somebody has told us you chant this mantra, he will wake up. Isn't it? But still inside is thinking, oh, it's marble only. Where is waking up? What is he waking up? So, that waking up also, although we are waking up the deity, it's the same what we discussed in the Shuddha Gita. It is actually waking up the Antaryami inside. Although you are waking up the deity, you are calling all the mantram you are chanting and everything we are doing. But Jai Jaya Jida Jahyaga Jangama Amrdima Jamida Mushagunam, that verse. So Shuddha Gita mentions that, isn't it? If you remember that first verse in the Shuddha Gita, that's what it is about. Such an important verse because it is from that verse, (1087). Jai Jai Jakya Jamajida Dosha Gribhida Gunam Tomasi Yadalmanam Samavarupta Samastha Bhagaha అగజగదోగసాం అఖిలశక్తి అవబోధగతే క్వచిద్ అజయాత్మనా చరదోనుచరేన్ నిగమాః. సో జయ జయ జిహదా మచిద, దట్ మాయా ఈజ్ కవరింగ్ అట్ ద మోమెంట్, మాయా ఈజ్ నాట్ అలౌవింగ్ దట్ టు వేక్ అప్, దట్ వేక్ అప్ ఫ్రమ్ ఇన్సైడ్. సో వన్స్ హీ వేక్స్ అప్, ఆర్ వెన్ యూ సీ అనదర్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీ, దట్ మాయా ఈజ్ కవరింగ్ అస్, నాట్ అలౌవింగ్ దట్ అంతర్యామి టు వేక్ అప్. బట్ ఇఫ్ ది అంతర్యామి వేక్స్ అప్ ఇన్సైడ్, దెన్ వేదం దట్ ఈస్ ద వేకింగ్ అప్ ద డైటీ, వేకింగ్ అప్ ది అంతర్యామి ఇన్సైడ్. Which deity are we waking up? The deity inside the heart, isn't it? So, who is present inside everyone as the living force? So, but in a rare moment, some rare moment, that living force inside gives us a glimpse of his waking up, and then again it disappears. So what is that does, what it does, that when suddenly, normally it is Ajaya, Ajam, that means Maya, Jaya Jaya Ajidam. So Jaya Jaya, we saying that you're normally, he is covered by the Maya, remember we discussed that, Krishna is there, Maya is also there, and she has put the shutter. We can't see him. So, and it comes out, how does Maya covers that we know in different forms? Anger, lust, greed, distress, all miseries. We'll be keep on talking about all these things in the world all the time when Maya is covering that knowledge. We'll be keep on discussing about all our problems of this world. But one rare moment, even a hardcore materialist, even him, just like a father plays with the child sometimes, similarly, and sometimes you'll see parents play with the small children, isn't it? They'll put some cover on the head and plays with him, saying, and make the child confused. Who is this? Find out who it is. And the child will try to find out, he'll pull the curtain and he shows father's face. Then he feels very happy. You remember how parents play with the children, isn't it? So those things, similarly, this Antaryami also, at some rare moment, even in the most wicked person in this world, sometimes Krishna will show a rare presence of him inside. A rare presence of Krishna inside, he will know it sometimes. It will happen. Because even in the case of Kamsa, you can see this has happened. In the case of Kamsa, that you will notice that is Antaryami's power. How did it happen to Kamsa? You know that story in the Bhagavatam. You see, not only Kamsa, as far as Vedavyasa Maharshi is concerned, nobody is a villain or a wicked man in this world. Even Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu also, he doesn't present it like that. Because of this reason only, that in them also, in Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu also, it is Krishna only who is doing all these things. That you have to recognize. Otherwise, why is Hiranyaksha is like this, Hiranyakashipu is like this, and Kamsa is like that? That understanding we have to get. But if you simply read Bhagavatam and start thinking, oh, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, they're all lower than me. I'm a lot more higher than them. Because I'm chanting 16 rounds, you see. That will be my approach. My thinking will be like, what has Kamsa chanted? What has Hiranyakashipu chanted? Who has chanted so many rounds as I did? If I start thinking like that, I've not understood anything from Bhagavatam. That's what it means. Why I'm saying this is, try to understand this, that when Kamsa was in that bad state with the problem with Krishna's appearance, Devaki and Vasudev was in a very difficult state with Kamsa. You know, they, when they took him in the chariot back to Mathura, to the palace and all that, he was helpful up to the point till it was spoken from the sky that the eighth child is going to kill you. The moment he heard that, everything's changed. He became more wicked, and he wanted to kill Devaki straight away. But Vasudev somehow interfered. This is all Antaryami is playing the game, whether it is Kamsa or it is Vasudev or it is Devaki. One who is sitting in everybody's heart, it's the same person. And he is moving each and every one according to his plan, not to our plan. That's what is happening there. So when Kamsa was wanted to kill Devaki, Vasudev interfered and praised Vasudev, Kamsa, like anything. After the praise, Kamsa thought, yes, I let them go now. Only the eighth child is going to kill me, isn't it? So I should not be worried about it now. And he told Vasudev, every time a child is born, bring them to me. And then I'll finish them up, kill them. And only there is no possibility of me getting threatened by Krishna then. That was Kamsa's plan. Vasudev subsequently had children. Every time he used to bring the child to Kamsa. And this is where Vedavya says that, look at Kamsa's good heart. He said, this is the first child, why should I be frightened about him? Originally he said, I'll kill him. But now he's saying to Vasudev, I won't kill him, why should I kill him? He's your first child, only the eighth one I have to take him back. So all the first six has come like this. Vasudev was a gentleman, he kept his word. He knew if Kamsa is going to kill, he will kill. He's not going to let the child go. So knowing well, he brought the child every time. And every time Kamsa sent them back. Kamsa sent them back. When this was spoken, Krishna asked this question. Why did Krishna ask this question to Melpathur, this question? Why do you say like that, that the six children were not killed by Kamsa? What Melpathur told Krishna, Dushtanam abideva pushtakarunam drishtahi dire gadaha. Even sometimes, dushta means very wicked, such a person, in their heart also sometimes compassion, karunyam can come. Where is that coming from? The same Krishna who is inside. So, very difficult to say that, that's what I'm saying. Dushtanam abideva pushtakarunam drishtahi dire gadaha. You can see that karunyam even among the dushtas. Dushta means very wicked men. Even in them, sometimes you can see karunyam, this mercy coming from them. It's not that they are all permanently, they will behave in one way. So inside this, everyone, there is sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way. But majority of cases, what happens is that Vasudeva, when he took the child there, Kamsa is saying, this child hasn't done anything to me. Only the eighth child I have to be worried and take him back, he said. So, similarly, very good people also sometimes do some bad things. Opposite thing. Reverse is also true. Is it not? You can see this in the world. Sometimes you rate somebody very high and we think that, oh, he's so fixed and he is so realized and all, then he will go and do something, some nonsense, and people start thinking, we never expected that he will do such a thing. We say like that, isn't it? We say like that. And similarly, sometimes very wicked people, from them you can expect something unexpected, some good thing they may do in this world, isn't it? So that is that divinity in that person will come out. Why I'm saying this is, to remove that jnanam inside, that we are classifying people, somebody is bad forever, and somebody is always good. That has to go from within, because only then you can remove namarupam from inside. Not to identify any namarupam with good or bad. That is the first thing. If you identify any namarupam, any name and form with good or bad, then you are in trouble. Then it is difficult to take it out from that person. That's why when you study Bhagavatam also, if you start seeing Kamsa is bad, Hiranyakashipu is bad, and Hiranyaksha is bad, Prahlada is very good, Dhruva is good, they are all devoted, they are all on my side, the others are all on the opposite side. This is all our mental concoction, how the mind creates this problem. This all must go in order to come to realization state. And you can see in the case of Prahlada, even though father gave him so much trouble, he didn't feel anything. Why? Namarupam has gone from inside for him. For him, father is not that form Hiranyakashipu for him. For him, Hiranyakashipu is also Krishna who is inside that. That realization, that is important. Otherwise, equally like Hiranyakashipu hated Prahlada, but Prahlada couldn't hate Hiranyakashipu. Why? Because of this, Namarupam has gone away from inside. This is the success behind it. So you can see how deeper level spiritual life works. Much deeper level than what we think. Our relationships are all on a very surface, isn't it? We get angry with somebody, we don't talk to him or we go away from him. Or we like somebody, we are always hugging and kissing him each other all the time. So this is our gross life, isn't it? But on a subtle level, when you see these things, you can see namarupam, any namarupam will create problems inside. Any namarupam will create. To the extent that Krishna says there in the Bhagavatam, which is the most difficult thing, ultimately, the form of man and woman also has to go from inside. Which is the most difficult thing. The form of a man and woman also has to go away. Because also that is namarupam. Is it not? And that is the last thing one can get rid of in our life, in this world. Form of man and woman. That because man and woman is also based on the body. It has nothing to do with the... Andaryami is the same in the man and the woman. So everywhere this spiritual life realization comes, these things must happen inside a person. Otherwise it hasn't got that effect. So here, so one person is good and bad. It's all based on the covering outside, isn't it? Covering outside. And very rare occasion sometime, from inside that will come out. Which one? The Atma. The soul inside will come, Spuranam will come from inside. That is what we mentioned there. Atmana charadaha ajaya charadaha. Shruti says like this. Atmana charadaha ajaya charadaha. So, so that is why that verse in the Shruti Gita, the first verse, is because of this so important. That it is saying, if you wake up from inside, then I won't see your form outside. You see? Andaryami, why we are asking Andaryami to wake up? If Andaryami wakes up in that person, then I won't see that form outside. I will see Andaryami in that person. And that is that whole prayer. Shruti is asking Krishna's to wake up from everybody. Everybody, Krishna's to wake up from with inside. So, so because of this, then in the past, among the great personalities also, when they had seen someone with whom they had some difficulty in any way they were experiencing, they will always ask the Andaryami inside that person to wake up. Samavarudha samastha bhagaha, in the verse it says, in the Shruti Gita, that samastha bhagam, that Andaryami inside everyone has got the, if he wakes up, then your problem is solved. Suppose you hated somebody or if you had any difficulty happen with someone. If you sincerely pray to the Andaryami to that inside that person, because it's the same Andaryami who is within us as well. That Andaryami, if he decides, he can change that relationship completely. Relationship completely. So that divinity Krishna is keeping it inside in Krishna. So that power Krishna has got. And if Krishna wants it, Krishna can change that person. If Krishna wants it, he can change that person. Just like we do so many things to change others in this world, isn't it? What do we do? We do, for example, we want to change the habit of people. We punish people. We put them into prisons. We send them to juvenile centers and all that. Actually, these processes will not be as effective as the right process what Shastram is saying. Shastram is saying that even in those persons, whoever is having that tendency to commit crime or any kind of wrong things in this world, even within them, Antaryami is operating there. So if we have people who can approach that Antaryami and change, the influence them, then that change will be permanent. And in other words, those who wants to change others, they have to always engage in the meditation of the Antaryami, who is present in everyone's heart, in everybody. In other words, always one who has come to this realization, only Krishna exists. And if he can keep on seeing Krishna in every living entity, in that stage, at the time of death, that person doesn't have to worry anything. That doesn't have to worry anything. Because for him, by then, there is nothing outside Krishna. Then there is no possibility of the thoughts going after something else. Thoughts going after something else. So, do you understand that depth of that verse? Andhakale jamameva smaran tyaktva kalevaram. You have to look at it from all angles. Only then you will know that how demanding it is in order that to happen, to remember Krishna at the time of death. It's not just a simple thing that you make out of it, that, oh, at the time of death, I'll just remember Krishna and I fixed it in my head. When the death happens, before, hours before, different faculties start going. Brain goes, mind goes, and kidney goes, liver goes, heart, everything goes. But life hasn't gone yet. And something else will happen at that time. That's why. So, only if we have come to that perfect state, outside Krishna, nothing is existing. In all living entities, only Krishna is present. If you have come to that realization in this present state, then nothing to worry at the time of death. It will take care of itself. Otherwise, not. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, to explain this properly, there is one story of Katvanga, King Katvanga. Katvanga's story, if you look into the 9th canto, you will see there what happened with Katvanga. It's a very interesting story. Katvanga was one of the kings in the Chola dynasty. And this Katvanga, 9th canto, 9th chapter. Verse 44. Looking to verse 41 says, Tatho dasharadastasmal putra aidavidastata raja vishwasaho yasya katvangas chakravarti bhud yo devairartido daityan avadhijyadi durjayaha muhurtam ayur nyatvaitya saburam samdhade manaha. That this Katvanga, Dasharada was Dasharada was born in that Chola dynasty. From him Vida was born, and from this Vishwasaha, and from Vishwasaha's son was Katvanga. And this Katvanga, he was a very powerful fighter, powerful fighter he was. So what happened was, demigods asked him to come to the heavenly planets to fight, like Muchukunda. They've asked him to come to fight. Went there and fought the war and killed a lot of demons there. Killed a lot of demons. So then, demon, as usual, demigods asked him, what should be the benediction? What do you want from this? Katwanga said, then if you can tell me how much life is I have left, I've got remaining lifespan. They told him, you have got only one muhurtam, very small amount of time you've got, and to leave the body. Then what did he do? Nabaye brahma gula al pranam, 43rd verse. Kula daivan na chal maja, nishreshayo, nishreyo namahi rajyam, nadara aschadi vallabham. Katwanga says there, I'm not even concerned about my life. I'm more concerned about the realized souls, brahmajna, self-realized souls, and children, opulences, land, a kingdom, wife, nothing is dear to me, he says there. And in the 44th verse he says, na balyebi madhar mahyam adharme ramade kochil na pasya uttama shlokad anyad kinchana vastu aham. That was Katwanga's statement. Look at that verse. Na balyebi madhar mahyam adharme ramade kochil. From there you can understand, he says, even in childhood, my intelligence has never gone in the irreligious way. Katwanga is saying there. It never went in the wrong way. It always stayed in the straight path, in the right path. And he says, Na pashyam uttama shlogad anyad kinchana vastu aham. That is a very bold statement from Katwanga. Katwanga is saying, Na pashya uttama shlogad. I have not seen anything else in this world except Krishna. Uttama shloka is Krishna. Except Krishna, I have not seen anything else in this world. Anyat kinjana vastu aham. Another vastu separated from Krishna I have not seen here. That's what that verse means. Na pashyet uttama shlokad anyat kinjana vastu aham. I have not seen another vastu separated from Krishna in this world throughout my life. That is that state. So therefore what happened? Katwanga knew, because he has practiced it the whole life in that way. Very boldly he is saying this. Na pashyal uttama shlokad anyat kinjana vastuham. Anyat kinjana vastuham. Separated from Krishna, I have not seen another vastu in this world. Because that is what this state Krishna is talking about here. In this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is saying is that, Krishna is saying there, Andakale jamameva smaran muktva kalevaram ya prayadi samal bhavam yati nastyatra samshayaha. That Katwanga practiced it throughout life. Throughout life he practiced this yoga system of namarupam, separating the namarupam from inside. Because he practiced this like that, he was able to say, when he heard that he has only a very short period of time left, he immediately sat down in dhyanam, in meditation, and remembered Krishna and left this world. Left this world, went back to the spiritual world. Therefore, Katwanga is considered to be one of the greatest personality who got self-realized in a very, very short period of time. Who was able to do it throughout life, but because he took it so seriously. You can see the differences now. Parikshit's case, he took 7 days. Dhruva Maharaj took 6 months. And Katwanga's case, it was only a short period of time. Everybody is different. Everybody is different. But they all practiced it in their life and made it perfect by the time they had to leave the body. That's how you have to see that. Every one of them, they practiced it, and by the time they had to leave the body, they were ready for it. It took longer time, Parikshit, for 7 days, and Pingala, it took a very short period of time. In Pingala's case, in the Bhagavadam, you know. That suddenly that realization came to Pingala and gave up everything, and she walked out from that, isn't it? And then she went back because of that, Pingala's case. So, अब्धार्देन हरिम औतानवाद शिशु औतानवाद उतानवाद सन ध्रुव महाराज ही हैड सिक्स मंथ्स नीडेड याम अर्धद पिंगल अर्ध यामम वन यामम इज थ्री आवर्स हाफ ऑफ दैट ओनली पिंगल टुक टू गो बैक इसंट इट सो एवरीबडी इज डिफरेंट परीक्षित टुक सेवन डेज एंड कठवांगा टुक much lesser than that. Why? Because Patwanga had that practice throughout. You can see Patwanga is boldly saying there in that verse, because I have practiced it in my life and I had no problem. He said, I have got another one muhurtam, he is saying to demigods. When demigods told him that you got only one muhurtam left, Patwanga says, that's fine. I got one muhurtam. Whereas Parikshit didn't say like that. Parikshit was thinking, I got only 7 days left, what can I do? He was confused about that. He was thinking in a different way. Not like Katwanga. Parikshit was a little bit worried. I've got 7 days left. What shall I do? And then fortunately Krishna sent Shiva Brahmarshi there to talk to Srimad Bhagavatam to him and he escaped. Katwanga's case, nobody was sent because he practiced it throughout life, what Krishna is mentioning here. So he says at the last minute, when he heard that I had one muhurtam left, he sat down there and quietly quit the body from here. So now you may think like this, that when he sat down there, one muhurtam they told that he have got, he immediately sat down in Padmasanam, in the lotus position, and in the Samadhi Sthiti, he went into Samadhi state. He was a king and he has not given up his karmam, work at that point. He's not a sannyasi either. And he kept on doing his work till the last minute. Karmam, he kept, that means without kartrutva, bhoktrutvam, he was doing all these things. I'm not the doer, I'm not the enjoyer. Even when he went to help the demigods, he was doing with that understanding. So, such a person, how can they, while being situated within the body, they can leave the body in this way? And answer to that, what Katwanga is answering there, he says, I never fought any war. I never ruled any kingdom. And I have not even seen this world. So realized he was. Imagine that. Just like Janaka said. In the Ashtavakra Gita he says, Janaka says the same thing. Similarly, these great souls, he's saying that I never fought a war. I never managed any kingdom. And I never seen even this world, he says. So many years and years he had been there. If you hear that, what will you think? You'll think a man has gone mad, isn't it? Lunatic, you may think like that. He ruled the kingdom, he fought the war, and so much vyavaharam he has done in this world. But what was that? I'm not the doer, I'm not the enjoyer. That was very firm inside. So, we may have seen this world and a lot of things may have gone inside. A lot of things will have gone inside us, isn't it? So, he says here, Navasya Uttama Shlogad. If you look at that verse, you can see the second part. Navasya Uttama Shlogad. Anya Kinchana Vastu Aham, he says. Very bold and specific statement. Navasya Uttama Shlogad. Except Uttama Shloga. Krishna, I have not seen anything in this world. That is that state. Anya Kinchana Vastu Aham. Anya Kinchana Vastu Aham. Another Vastu I have not seen in this world. So that means what? You have not killed anybody, you have not fought any war, and you have not done anything here. That state. That state. Na kinchana vastu aham. I have not done anything. And when you only if there is another vastu separated from Krishna, I have not seen anything like that. So who can say this? So boldly, like the way he spoke. Why is that? This is the power of knowledge inside. The knowledge inside is talking like that. So, for example, you can see here in the modern world also, science is telling us there is electron, proton, neutron, this, that and the other, isn't it? They are saying there is no mic, there is only electrons and protons and all that, isn't it? But in the Vedam, what it says is that there is not even electron, proton, there is only consciousness. There is only consciousness. Nothing else exists. Only consciousness exists. Only consciousness. separated from consciousness, nothing else exists. Whoever has realized this, and through tattvajnanam, through analysis or inquiry, whoever has become very firm in this and in every object, and that alone exists, such a person, even though he may have to deal with namarupam, namam and rupam, and whatever happens, for him there is a possibility of escaping from here. So sometimes we see another enemy or somebody whom you have developed an uneasy relationship in this world, and you may not like it, but at the same time, how will you go and see Krishna's presence in that person? At that time you have to think that what you don't like about that person, his form and his nature, swabhavam, everything, you have to take it that the same Chaitanyam, the living force in me and in him, he has put another dress and sitting there in that form. That emotion what is coming inside me, that I don't like that person, that emotion, where is it coming from? It's coming from Andaryami inside. Coming from Andaryami inside. It comes from the Andaryami, it stays in the Andaryami, and it disappears in the Andaryami. So that emotion is also another wave that is coming in, isn't it? We should not give importance to that. And on the other hand, we have to give importance to this knowledge what Krishna has given in the Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita. That is the point, time when you have to make that. Whenever any emotions like that, hate or anger comes towards anyone, if through this understanding what Krishna has spoken, if he can wipe out that emotion, not building up inside, knowing well that it has come from the Andaryami, and in that way not giving importance to it, if you accept this, gradually we will be able to get rid of many of the emotions from inside. This is known as Chintamani Vidya. Chintamani means touchstone. Touchstone technique, what they call it another way. Because every emotions, all emotions what's coming inside, they come from the soul and they stay in the soul and they disappear there also. Knowing very well that is also coming from the soul, then ultimately no emotions will wake up inside. Sometimes some doubts will come. Can you justify all the emotions? No, you don't have to justify all the emotions, because emotions get its strength only when you are in duality. Only when you are in duality. When you're seeing in duality, emotions will get strengthened. When you start seeing that as Krishna's presence inside, Chit Shakti, Chit Swarupam, then it has become, it loses its power. It loses its power. Whether it is anger, lust, greed, or whatever it is, at that point, lust is not lust anymore, anger is not anger anymore, greed is not greed anymore, and ego is not ego anymore. Everything is waking up from the soul, taking birth in the soul, and stays in the soul and dissolves in the soul. That is why in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam you will see that first verse itself, Janmadi Asya Yataha, that one sentence covers all these things. Janmadi Asya Yataha means what? Janma means taking birth or appearance. All of that is happening in that, in the soul. All of them are happening in the soul. Janmadhyasya yatonvayad. That Janmadhyasya yataha, it is the second, it is the first sutram in the Bhagavadam, it's the second sutram in the Vedanta sutram. In the gross level you can say that all this creation has come from him. That's also there on a gross level. That one particular verse has got very extensive commentaries from the Bhagavadam commentators. They spoke about that very, because that verse is so potent, the first verse. So it is that Janmadhyasya yataha is saying that everything that comes out in the inside the mind, inside the intelligence or in any thoughts and other things, it's all coming from the soul. Why do we say like that? Because without the presence of the soul, they cannot come. They cannot come. No emotions can come if the soul is not there. Because of that, the conclusion is that everything is coming from the soul. In his absence, nothing will happen. So, knowing this way and keeping all emotions at distance and not allowing them to, we identify with the emotion. That's where everything goes wrong, isn't it? Lust or anger or greed or envy or whatever it is. We, at that time, we are not conscious about the Atma inside. We are conscious about the emotion at that time. And we identify with that emotion, and then what will happen? Immediately we get victimized by that. So, realization means this, janmadyasyataha. One sentence is in, if you study that one thing, if you take it on life and realize it, you have understood Bhagavatam then. Janmadyasyataha, that's all it is. Janmam adi asyataha. All things take birth from that source. Satyambaram dhimahi, and that is Satyambaram dhimahi. So, Bhagavatam, the first verse is all highly philosophical, more than anything else. It's just speaking about the truth. So Janmadhyaya Sadha, wherever it is taking birth, it stays in that and it dissolves in there. Sarvam Tad. So one who has got this realization, such a person, at the time of death, in front of him, no matter what he sees, he will escape. He may be seeing with the eye something, but he will go back to the spiritual world. That's the important thing. Now, what do we do? We try to externally arrange everything so that we will bring a photo in front of him, so that he will see only the photo. We will bring a garland for him. We will give him some charanamritam or something, so that all five senses gets engaged in the relationship with Krishna. That's the idea behind it, isn't it? When a person is dying, what do? We go to the hospital with a garland and other things, or a Harinam Chadar, or somebody will chant, somebody will look at the Harinam Chadar, or a photograph of Krishna, or a garland from Krishna, or some prasadam from the temple. That way all five senses will try to engage in Krishna's connection with Krishna. We'll try to do that. But that doesn't guarantee that you will go home back to Godhead. It's not. This is the subtle side that is more important. What Krishna is saying here, even at the time of death, if you are eating something, or if you are seeing this world, or if you are hearing some pop music, if inside, if you have practiced this whole life, and you have come to that state, what Krishna is saying there, that at the time of death, that all these thoughts are happening inside the soul, it's taking birth, it's living there, it's disappearing. If that perfect realization has happened inside, that person will escape. That person will escape. There are examples in this. When a great devotee, when he was leaving this world, he had many devotees, his devotees who were with him at that time. And he was at that side, that time he was not, his mind was not absorbed in anything in this world. The devotees who were around him could say that. He was not absorbed in anything in the world. So, he was just like in the pillow, you fill that with the cotton, isn't it, to make it fluffy. So, he says that the devotees who were around here, he was telling them, that I am like that pillow. So many things are stuffed inside. But I am seeing one thing, he said, that at this stage, there can't be any attachment to anything. That is what is mentioned here. So, so he told one of his disciples who was not there at that time. He told them, you tell him to come. Tell him to come. Because he was leaving his body. It so happened that particular disciple wasn't there. So, and he was very attached to that disciple in the sense that he found in that person some spiritual strength in him, that some spiritual, proper spiritual realization in him. So he was attached to this disciple And that so happened that disciple was in there at the time of death. So he told the other in the ashram who were other disciples who were there, he told them that you go and tell him to come as soon. So it was late in the evening. He knew that he was going to die. So they sent message. In those days there was no mobiles and emails and Facebook and Twitter and all that. Nothing was there. Call thing was done by manually. You have to walk 5 miles or 10 miles to deliver the message. So they sent someone to that person's house who lived a few miles away to tell him that the spiritual master wants to see you. He's leaving his body and you should come immediately. After saying this to his disciples, he went to bed. He was lying down. He knew that diseases become very critical. You will live any time, that stage. Cancer was the disease. So what he did was, every couple of hours he'll wake up and he'll go and ask these other disciples, have you sent word to him to come? Has he come? They'll say. They'll say, no, we have sent the word, he'll come. It may take a few hours by the time he gets back. Still, he will go back to bed and then again he'll get up and come and ask for him. Has he come? He'll ask like that. So, and he carried on till the next day morning. So, at that time, these other disciples started asking this question. Why this person seems to be very spiritually, otherwise he's very sound and realized. And they all had the experience with him. But how come he's so attached to a disciple like this at the time of death, leaving the body? So, till the morning, till that disciple comes, this was going on in the night. The discussion among the disciples and the spiritual master was going and coming back all the time. And they were getting a bit surprised at that time. So then they were saying that this is very surprising, that the whole life he had been so much absorbed in spiritual life. And he has never shown any attachment anywhere at any time before. Only at this time he is so attached to his disciple. They were thinking like that. They couldn't understand behind this. So he thought that he understood that the disciples are thinking like this about him. So he told, when the disciple came in the morning, the disciple started thinking that, oh, the spiritual master specifically wanted me to come, and he felt that is something important to say. So as soon as the disciple comes, he tells him, you are a stupid person. You thought that I am attached to you, but what I was attached to was that I have noticed that in you, that Antaryami inside is waking up. I have started seeing that, he said. I was not concerned about you at all, he said. Very openly he said to him. I was not concerned about your name or form or anything. But what I have realized that Antaryami inside you has started waking up. And I wanted to see that becoming a lot more manifested in this world before I go. That was his words, what he spoke at the while. And saying this, he closed his eyes and left. So naturally, in a very advanced state, any Mahatma or Jnani or a great realized soul will not be looking at anybody's body anymore. Body is not important. Once they have reached that stage, after that, they are only dealing with the Antaryami inside, not with the person anymore. This is spiritual advancement. If the spiritual master is advanced enough, disciple is advanced enough, they will not relate each other anymore on the bodily level, because it has no meaning. Bodily level relationship is Maya, actually. We are like that, doesn't it? That's what we are. We are thinking that for us, institution, a structure, an organization, and a proper designations in all levels we require, all very clearly defined and all that. All this is useless in spiritual life. It's all complete waste of time. We are bringing our vasanas into spiritual life and it comes out in this form. Organigram we need. We say that we need a top level, parallel management they call it now. All bogus. completely bogus. They have no idea what they are talking about. Parallel management, I believe. The whole spiritual life is for management, it looks like that to me. Spiritual life will never work like that. It's a complete misunderstanding. Total misunderstanding. So what I'm saying is that you can see spiritual life where it's happening. When you go back into the traditions of these great personalities, where is spiritual life? Spiritual life is not you making a big building and big organization and big departments and departmental managers and all facilities like your email system and computers all installed very well and you're running your courses and seminars. That's all spiritual life you are talking about. Sorry, it doesn't happen that way. It's a, we want to come out of all these things because they are all problems in spiritual life. They don't help us. Because they haven't understood this, they have still thinking spiritual life is also a vyavaharam. That's the problem. If you start thinking spiritual life is a vyavaharam and start dealing with spiritual life like vyavaharam, it will end up like a vyavaharam at the end. You won't get to know the message. Message you won't get in. Therefore, proper understanding is the more we come out of vyavaharam and make it as simple and direct to people. And the very fundamental is what Krishna has spoken. If you get the message across, these things won't happen. But because the message is not getting through, these problems are growing in a big way all the time. You can see that also. Because anymore in the advanced state, sannyasi or a guru or a whatever it may be, he cannot see the body anymore. Cannot see the body anymore. Because he's not seeing the person anymore. So, or the name or the form. On the other hand, inside that person, in the form of Antaryami, who is present inside there, it's coming out from there is more important to the spiritual master. Nothing else. What matters to the spiritual master is the Antaryami inside the disciple is blossoming, is coming out. That's what he is praying for because he knows very well it is that Antaryami that has come outside as a spiritual master. Atmano gurura atmaiva purushasya visheshada pratyakshena anumanabhyam shreyasam anuvindade. Krishna says to Uddhava, guru tattvam is that, guru principle. That Krishna decides, atmano gurura atmaiva. The guru is the soul inside and he decides when the time is right, he comes out in the form of spiritual master. And from outside he pushes you inwards and from inside he pulls you inwards. Antaryami pulls you inwards from inside and from outside as spiritual master he sends you inwards. Almano guru almano, very important words in the Bhagavatam. Purushasya visheshada pratyakshena anumanabhyam shreyasam anuvindade. He says, so what is the difference here is this, that even if the so this upasana, that even on a stone, we are worshipping as a deity, isn't it? So, even there, you have to get that understanding. Even in that stone, Krishna is present there. So, if on a stone-like thing, which is jadam, jadam means matter, dead matter, isn't it? Even in a form like that, if Krishna can appear, even in a dead stone, if Krishna can appear, how come Krishna cannot appear in another living entity who has got life in him, which is on a superior level, isn't it? In a person who has got a living force inside, Chaitanyam inside. So, is that not upasana, a bigger upasana, where he is present inside another living force in any living entity? So, that is, if in a jadam, dead matter, we are engaged in deity worship. In dead matter, we are thinking Krishna is present there and we are doing all the service or upasana or sadhana, what we are performing towards a deity. So much service people are doing, isn't it? Hoping that in that deity they will see Krishna one day. That's the idea behind it. One day we want to see Krishna there genuinely with a proper connection there. If it can happen in a deity, will it not happen in a living form? Where although this is a moving temple, isn't it? This body is a moving temple. Krishna is present there in every living entity, which is much more tangible to recognize. And that is why it mentions here. There, what is the difference is this, that there vastu is jadam. Vastu is jadam, dead matter. But it is sticking to nirgunam. Krishna is nirgunam, isn't it? Beyond the three modes of material nature. That is nirgunam. So we are expecting there the three mode, the vastu which is beyond three modes of material nature, which is Krishna, is sticking to that jadam, dead matter. Jet matter. Because in that state, it will not show any emotions. Any emotions. Therefore, you can put all your emotions into that dead matter, to the deity. You can put all your emotions onto the deity because it won't show any emotions because it's a dead matter. Whereas, a person with a person who has got emotions, suppose we show some emotion to him or to her, he or she will show back another emotion. Some emotion will come back from another person. Suppose you have relating with another person. With the same way like you are trying to deal with the deity. If you try to show emotion to another person, love or hate, whatever it is, normal thing is that because that person also has got chaitanyam in there, living force inside that person will react back to us with some emotion, some form. It will come back to us, isn't it? So, so because it does happen like that, it's more difficult. Because another emotion comes back. It is very difficult. So, so there is there upasana is important. That is why this upasana is necessary. So performing this upasana, if you continuously do it and wake up that andaryami in that person, wake up the andaryami in that person, then what will happen is, and we have to wake, when that andaryami wakes up from within, then the problem is solved. Problem is solved. With a dead matter, for example, this deities or any deity for that matter, because it is jadam, so whatever emotions I have in me while worshipping the deity, it doesn't matter because it is jadam. It won't react back to me immediately. It won't. It won't react unless you got to watch a high state. Normal state, we are talking about ordinary people's life. But a person who is living where Krishna's presence we have recognized, in other words, waking up andaryami in a living person is easier than waking up andaryami in a dead matter. That is the thing behind that. Waking up andaryami in a person, once you wake, only problem is when you wake up that andaryami inside, there is possibility that he may have some emotions coming back to us. You should be willing to live with that. You should be willing to live with that. But by upasana, upasana means this process of andaryami principle, in other words, if we wake him up from inside, this will work very easily. And that's what you find in the Ramayanam. When Vishwamitra sung that verse, remember? Kausalya Supraja Rama Purva Sandhya Pravartade Uttishta Narashar Dhula Kartavyam Devamanyam Uttishto Uttishta Govinda Uttishta Garida Dvaja Uttishta Kamala Kanda Trilokyam Mangalam Kuru. These verses are from Ramayanam. Ramayanam, Vishwamitra is telling, Ramchandra and Lakshmana is sleeping there. They went together from the palace, from the Ayodhya palace. And early hours in the morning, Vishwamitra has woken up early, sage, isn't it? Has many things to do in the early hours in the morning. And then he wanted Ramchandra and Lakshmana to wake up. So that's when he says this to them. So, so basically what it says is that you don't have to wake up Krishna. Krishna is always doesn't have to wake up. But this waking up principle is not actually the waking up of the andaryami inside. Normally we think that, oh, Krishna is sleeping, I have to wake him up. We say like that in the deity worship, isn't it? He's waking up the deity, we say. Krishna doesn't sleep like the way we sleep. For us, we know how we sleep, isn't it? That's not to be spoken about. If Krishna starts sleeping like us, what will happen to this creation? No, Krishna doesn't sleep like the way we sleep. And we don't wake up Krishna like the way we are woken up. Waking up Krishna means waking up the Antaryami inside. Everybody. That's that waking up business, what we talk about. So by waking up, what we are doing is, we are bringing Krishna into our field of experience. That we want to experience Krishna. Unless Krishna wakes up inside, we are worshipping the deity, but actually who are we addressing? Antaryami inside to wake up. That's what has to wake up. Not the deity. Deity is not going to wake up. Deity, whether you wake up or not wake up, it will remain the same. It's not going to change. But when you are addressing the deity to wake up, actually you are asking Krishna inside to wake up. Antaryami inside to wake up. So only then it will come to our field of experience, isn't it? It has to come to our experience. So that is why that verse, in the first verse we saw in the Shruti Gita, Jai Jaya Jaga Jahiva Manchidam, that word, but the first verse, Jahi means to kill, what the remove, or in other words, what is that Maya, remove Maya, or ignorance in other words. Because I have tried, I can't do it, and therefore you have to do that for me. That is the thought behind Ajita Dosha Gribhita Gunan. Ajita dosha dribhita gunan. There's so many dosham, so many problems or defects inside, and what is it doing to me? It creates duality inside. When we say that we have a lot of defects or dosham, dosham means problems inside. What is the problem? Problem is this, that it is creating duality. Isn't it? That's our main problem. That is the most difficult thing to wipe out from inside. The duality from within. No matter how hard we try, it won't go very easily. Dvaita buddhi, isn't it? So that is Maya, and remove that. He says like that, isn't it? So, and knowing very well, samastha bhaga, all bhagam, all this capacity you have, who Antaryami has got it, isn't it? Therefore, you yourself should wake up inside and remove that ignorance within me. Only then this will happen. You will shine inside. But this is a prayer to Shrutis, Vedas prayers to Krishna in that way. So that Vedas are talking to the Antaryami directly inside. Then after seeing that Antaryami in everyone, after seeing that Antaryami in everybody, then start talking to that Antaryami, who is present in everyone's heart. If we can do like that, then that Antaryami will start the reciprocation from there. It will start reciprocating. And that reciprocation will take some time. That will depend upon the upasana, strength of the upasana inside, of our upasana strength. And because it is in that state that Antaryami is reciprocating back towards us. So, in order to wake up that Antaryami in everyone inside, that tapas is required. Once that happens, then, once it has woken up, then even if the body drops off, he won't go anywhere. That is why Krishna is saying here, Madbhavam yati nastyatra samshaya. That fourth line. Andhakaleja mameva. Smaran muktva kalevaram, yaprayadisamal bhavam, yati nastyatra samshaya. That's what Krishna is saying that. If that Antaryami has woken up in everyone by your upasana, strength of upasana, following this, removing the namarupam from everyone, and if Antaryami has woken up inside in everybody, by everybody means that in you it has to happen. It happens in you, that means when you see another person, you are seeing the Antaryami in that person. How does it happen? Because it has woken up inside you. So inside you, if it has woken up, the proof of that is you are seeing the same Antaryami in everyone. If that has happened, Krishna is saying here that mal bhavam yadi nasti atra samshaya. That means you have completely crossed over all the other hurdles, and mal bhavam, that means that Krishna's bhavam has come. Mal bhavam, Krishna's bhavam. Yadi nasti atra samshaya. There is no doubt about that, Krishna says here. And that is the same situation what Krishna is saying there as Vasudeva Sarvamiti. The one he spoke in the 7th chapter. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahalma Supurlava. Krishna is saying here, after reaching that state of Vasudeva Sarvamiti, everything is Krishna. And when he leaves this body, there is no Sangalpam anymore. Separately, he has got. He has no other Sangalpam inside at that time. If it is like that, if there is no Sangalpam inside, he will come back and get that spiritual nature. Spiritual realization will come and he will reach that state. He will never come back from that. And then he says, if any Sangalpam comes inside, according to that Sangalpam, you have to go and take birth once again. And that is the next verse. We'll read that verse first. Verse 6. First thing what Krishna said was, if you have no Sangalpam at the time of death, if this realization has come, Antaryami has woken up inside and seen Antaryami's presence in everything, and if you have left the body at that point without any Sangalpam, there is no question of coming back. You have got your spiritual identity. Instead, if any single one Sangalpam has come up inside at the time of death, you have to go and accept another body. That's the next verse. Yam yam vabhismaran bhavam.
Yam yam vabhismaran bhavam.
Tejatyande kalevaram.
Tejatyande kalevaram.
Tantam evaiti kaundeya.
Tantam evaiti kaundeya.
Sadatad bhava bhavida.
Sadatad bhava bhavida.
Yam yam vabhismaran bhavam.
Tejatyande
kalevaram.
Tam
tam evaiti kaunteya.
Sada
tad bhava bhavida. Yam yam vavismaran bhavam. Tejati ande kalevaram. Tam tam evaiti kaunteya. Sada tad bhava bhavida. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. Now, in the translation, Prabhupada has mentioned that whatever a state, it's a little bit more subtle than that. That means, if any Sangalpam comes at the time of death, any, doesn't matter what it is, accordingly, you have to go and get another body. That means, unless, while living inside here, in this body, if we do not, through this process what Krishna has spoken in the previous verse, if you have not completely wiped out all Namarupam from inside through the process of Antaryami worship, Upasana, and if you have not come to that state that the same Antaryami's presence in all living entities, if that state has come, there is no possibility of another Sangalpam coming at the time of death and you will escape. If not, if any Sangalpam comes inside any other form, we have to come back. That is those two verses. We'll talk after a few minutes. So, yam yam vavismaran bhavam tejatyande kalevaram tam tam evaidi kaundeya sada tadbhava bhavida. Yam yam vabhi yam yam bhavam devada vishesham smaran chindayan tejadi parityajadi ande pranaviyoga kale kalevaram tam tam evaha smridam bhavam eva edi na anyam kaundeya sada sarvada tadbhava bhavida smaryamanadaya abhyasto yena sa tadbhava bhavida san. That's the bhashyam on the commentary on that verse. So here you can see here, hey Kaundeya, he says, yam yam vabhismaran bhavam tejatyande kalevaram tam tam evaidi kaunteya sada tadbhava bhavida. Suppose at the time of death, Suppose you have any form, doesn't matter. If you had in your imagination, bhavana, bhavana means imagination, or in your sankalpam or imagination, if any form you have imagined, devata form, any form of devata, any upasana devata, then you will go to that world, to that person's world. Now, this is a very subtle thing what Krishna is saying there. Devata means not only these demigods we are talking about here. That means anything that is connected with a chaitanyam or living force or with a personality, it is all devata. It's all devata. You should not think that these are only the devatas we know. For example, we'll say, if you worship Lord Shiva, you go to Kailasam. If you worship Sri Parvati, you go to her abode, Devi Dham. Or if you worship Kartikeya, you go to his abode. If you are, not only that, no. Krishna is saying, Yam Yam Vabis Maran Bhavam Tejadi Ande Kalevaram. He's saying, what it means is that, that devata means not only those demigods form, but whatever you have, if you have any personality attached to any spiritual form, spirituality, in spiritual way, chaitanyam. Chaitanyam means spiritual nature, isn't it? Suppose if you have any spiritual form in your mind, doesn't matter who it is, if you are attached to that form, that is all devata. That's all devata. Devata word is like that. That devata word, you have to understand that the expression behind that. Devata just does not mean much that if you make it as demigod. Demigod is one expression of that for devata. But devata also means wherever there is spiritual potency, anyone, anywhere, this is spiritual nature. And if you have a personality attached to that, that is a devata. That is how I was mentioning this 330 million we're talking about. It has come around like this. 330 million forms is coming from that. Because if you look at it that way, actually we are all devatas. We are also devatas because there is a living force inside and there is a personality inside. Jiva is inside, which is a personality. And also Chaitanyam, living force, is also, Andaryam is also inside. In other words, suppose you had the time of death, if you thought about your father, if you thought about your father, you will go into another body, some way you will be connected with one of the planets in the Pitralokam, where the father has gone, forefather's presence there. It's a very complicated thing, Krishna mentions that later. That this way of transferring from one body to another body, if you have attached to say your father or mother, because what you are doing there is, you are giving to your personality a chaitanyam attached to that. At father is the chaitanyam, the living force, who was in the form of father before. And you have given him a personality in the form of father. Isn't it? Father is chaitanyam. He's also a living force inside. There is Andaryami in him. Before, when he left the body also, Andaryami is there. To that Andaryami, you have given an identification as your father. Because it so happened from his body, your body has come. So you have given an identity to your father with that personality as your father to that Andaryami there in him. Because of that, he has become a devata now for you. You have become a devata now. So he says here, and then if you think about that father, because you will think about his body and his form. Suppose it happens at the time of death, you thought about him or about your mother. In the next life, some connection with him has to happen. And therefore, he must have gone. Normally, people will leave this body, they go to Pitralokam. That's a normal destination, isn't it? You know, Krishna explained that before in the 7th chapter. We've seen that. There is Devayanam, Pitriyanam. Devayanam is for those who are realized and who are going on their way back home, back to Godhead. Pitriyanam is for most of the others who don't make it this life. They'll have to accept another body. And the possibility is that in all cases, our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents all will be there. You can, if you have connection with them in some form by leaving the body, with whomever you had connection. Sometimes it's possible that instead of father, it could be grandfather or it could be grandmother. Wherever, with anywhere, where there is a living force, Antaryami, connected with the personality, if any of them comes into your thoughts at the time of death, you will go and take a birth and next life in such a way that you will have a connection with that form. Isn't it clear? No. Yeah. That is what that Yamyam Vabhismaran Bhav means. That Tandam Evedi Kaunteya Sada Tadbhava Bhavida, he says there. It's a very subtle thing, but it does happen. That's what it is talking about. So, therefore, if you develop any thoughts of any relations, doesn't matter who it is, any form, relations among the family members or this or that, and any thoughts comes to you at the time of death, you have to come back to that family again. Which is not always very pleasant, isn't it? You want to get out of this family thing, you need to come back to the same family another 50, 60 years again, going through the same whole misery once again. So, if you have thought about anybody in the family members, anyone, and if you have left the body, you have to come back to that family again in some form. In some form, you will have some connection with that. So, sometimes it happens, people do want to come back, isn't it? They don't want to go away from the family attachment is so strong that they say, we want to come back, and they'll feel bad about it. So, when this was spoken, a grandmother who was sitting there, he said, oh, Swamiji, very kind of you have told us this thing. He says, my desire is to come back to the same family because I want to look after my grandchildren. And I want to see that they are married and have their children, great-grandchildren, so I can get an opportunity to live with them again. The desire, how can you do? It's not going, it's strengthening more and more day by day. So what to do? Come back again? Krishna says, no problem, we'll make arrangements for you to come back. That's Krishna's way. So you can see, freedom from this cycle of birth and death is not easy, because these things will pull us back here again. So the Swamiji asked him, why you want to come back to this family life again? You already had it. His grandmother had children and grandchildren. She says, I like my grandchildren very much. The grandmother is telling, I like my grandchildren very much. So now that you have told us that there is a way of coming back here, she says, it's thankful to you for that. So, so I'll remember that and I'll die and I'll come back here. So if you didn't get a chance to get another birth, what will you do? Because nowadays that is also a problem, because most of the families got only one child or maximum two. In the olden days there was 10, 15 children families had. Now there is only one or two. So, but then there is also alternative for that. You will get a dog as a dog or a cat in the family will come and take birth there in that family as a cat or a dog. Will come. So that what will happen? Because if there are many children born, then you can come and take birth as one of them. If not, or a cat or a dog, you have to come back, or a rat even. So then what will happen is that grandchild whom you were attached to, that grandchild will treat you in the proper way when you come back as a dog, puppy. She will, the grandchild will treat you in a proper way at that time. And all kinds of things. So, because he doesn't know that this was my grandmother before or grandfather before. He doesn't know that. Once it so happened, there was one yogi. He was a sannyasi and he was a well-known yogi as well. Very well-known yogi he was. Chatambi Swamiji, he was called. This personality, one day he was walking through the field. So, you know when the olden days they used to plow through the bulls and the yoke, everything. Remember that, how they used to do. Nowadays all tractors, them days it was like that. So, when they were plowing the land, the man, the farmer, he was beating up both the bulls very badly. He was beating them like anything. So, he told them, do you know whom you are beating?
he said to them, you know, we are meeting. One of them is your uncle, my last birth. So everybody knew that Chandambi Swami is well known for that, because a lot of stories about in this whole book available, Chandambi Swami's interesting activities, what he did. There's a lot of stories about him. So Chandambi says to him that in previous life, this uncle has cheated this nephew a lot and made a lot of money by cheating him. So he has come back here and the nephew has to square it up. And that's why I'm smacking him. He says to him that, so he left this body, uncle left this body, and he has come back and taken birth here in the form of this bull. So I'm just, he says, you got this, you're finishing up your, he told him the whole story. He said, you are beating him like this because this is what it is, what has happened between you and the bull in your previous life. The same Chandambi Swami, the interesting story about him was, Chandambi Swamiji met Vivekananda and they had a mutual discussion about Lalita Sahasranam. It's a very interesting discussion they had. But once it, what happened was, the king of Travancore, he invited Chandambi Swamiji there and wanted to honor him and give him a good feast and give him some presents and everything, being a very highly elevated sannyasi like that. Chandambi Swamiji told him that I can't come alone. Other people will come with me. There will be, how many people will come? He said, well, 500 people will come with me, he said, for the feast. You can't just honor me alone, he said. So when Chandambi said that, king said, all right, it's only 500, isn't it? We can accommodate them. So everything was arranged. And on a particular day, he came there. So about the feast was going to start, at that time, that when the feast was going to start, the king asked Chandambi Swamiji, you told that 500 people are coming, where is everybody? You're only one person who had come. He says, wait, this is 12 o'clock or something, the feast is going to start. He says, wait for some time. He said, they will all come. He said, put the, you know, the leaf for everybody, for the feast. Put the leaf for everyone, he said. So the king organized everything, 500 people, seating arrangement, everything was put on for 500 people to sit and have the feast. And exactly at 12 o'clock, one after the other, 500 dogs came. One after the, all in a very disciplined way. They all came and they all sat in front of each leaf. Banana leaf, they all sat. And Chandambi Swami said, now you can serve the food. They served the food. All of them ate the food, and after finishing, they closed, folded the leaf together and took it with their mouth and took it to the place where they had to drop the leaf. They went and did that and they all disappeared. So the king was in a shock seeing this Chandambi Swamiji's 500 friends who had come with him for the feast. And he says to them that these dogs are your friends, he's saying. No, don't say like that. He said, they were all big people in previous life. This life, they had to come as a dog. It did so happen that they happened to be my friends. But in previous life, they were very big people. Some of them were big positions they had in the under the government and in the business and all that. But due to their activities, they had to get the dog's body. And that's why they have come here and all. And the king honored that, respected, gave him the honors and everything and sent him away from there. So that story is there about Chandambi Swami. So point was that he said to this nephew of this uncle that your uncle has come and he has taken, cheated you very much, and therefore, because while leaving the body, the uncle was thinking about it, what he has done to his nephew. You see how that link happened? Then what will happen is, suppose you have done something like that in life to somebody else, to someone else, and if you leave the body in those thoughts, because guilt will be there inside, isn't it? Somebody, something you have done to cheat someone or done something really heavy to somebody, and you feel guilty about it, You may leave the body with that guilt. And that's what Krishna is saying here, yam yam va vismaran bhav. If that happens, you have to come back and take birth in some way connected with that person. So any thoughts in relationship with anyone, if it comes at the time of death, you have to come there, come back again. That is how serious the whole thing is. Yam yam va vismaran bhavam. That's why if you use the, look at the words Krishna has used, yam yam, yeah, tam tam. That means twice he is stressing that point. There is no escape from this. Yam yam abhismaran bhavam, tam tam evedi kaunteya, he says. That means if you had done that, then you have to come back. That is the question. Yam yam abhismaran bhavam, tejatyande kalebaram, tam tam evedi kaunteya, sada tadbhava bhavita. Now you can understand how it happens, isn't it? That means if any sankalpam comes through the mind in any form, it can be in various ways. In our life, for example, either it can be family members. It can be the office where we have worked for whole life, or whom you have associated in your official activities, business, or, you know, in office also you get to know many people, isn't it? Who get inside us. In some way, either in a good way or a bad way, they are inside us. You can see sometimes after retirement, 10 years later, sometimes the thoughts comes back about someone whom you had a problem in the office. It's unavoidable. It's unavoidable because he has got inside. What can you do? He has given you a lot of trouble in the office. And then it comes back in the sleep after 10 years after retirement. So imagine that, how powerful that thoughts are. So, suppose in the same way that thought has come back at the time of death, what choice have I got? I have to go and take birth in his family, somewhere in some form, start again the whole business once again. So, that is the key point here is, wherever with some personality attached to any living force, it is a devata. It is a devata. Any living force, we are all living force, isn't it? All of us are jiva, living force. And we all have a personality. So if you attach any personality to any devata or any chaitanyam, in other words, it becomes a devata. And if any of the thoughts coming in relationship with any of them at the time of death, you have to go there. You have to go there. There is no escape. That is why this transmigration of the soul, it's not a very difficult thing to understand, because we were here in this world in Krishna's time. We were here in Ramchandra's time. We were here in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. We were here in all the time when they all come and gone. We are still here. We haven't gone back. That's the thing behind it. That we keep on getting new bodies because we keep on bringing new sankalpam inside and we keep coming back. We think that everything is new to us, isn't it? Nothing is new here. We are used to everything here before also. In different bodies we had come and we have lived in different families as different man-woman forms. And now we are here where we are now. We are where we are now. That's what it is. So, so therefore, it mentions like this. We only know the form outside, isn't it? We only know the form outside. But all those who are connected with us in this life, you have to remember this also, because it is like that. All of those who are connected with us in this life, say for example, wife, children, parents, brothers, sisters, all that connections, for some reason in the previous life, either due to our pious relationship or a sinful relationship, they have come and taken birth here with us. Otherwise, it is difficult to understand how is that so-and-so has to become my wife and so-and-so has to become my son. How would you logicize all this? This is the reason behind it. Krishna is saying that if any connection, what you are feeling today, family members, as you are feeling today, something must have happened in your previous life that you have developed a connection with that person in some form. And because of that, in this life you have come together again. Very serious thing it is. It's a very serious matter. We are thinking, oh, everything is over with this life. No, it is not over. It goes on and on and on and on. Again and again, so many lifetimes. Lifetime after lifetime it goes on. That is why it's so important we have to be able to leave this body without able to think of anyone in this world. If we do think anybody, because if you think about anyone, you have to come back. That simple as that. You have to come back here. So that is why it mentions here that for some reason, either due to pious activity or due to sinful activity, they have come and taken birth with us here and they are giving us their good association. And giving all trouble and we're saying, how did this happen? Don't know. What is the answer? There's no answer. And when that connection is broken, they will go away also. Once that is finished, the business is over, they'll go. And we are taking it so seriously, thinking that, oh, duty, duty, we keep saying, going after duty, all this stuff. So there was one famous speaker from Bhagavatam, Kripananda Warrior, he was called. He used to say that if you do a lot of pious activities, he says, you will go and get a dog's body in America, he said. He used to say like that. Because if you get the human body, you have to work hard to earn a living, isn't it? But in America, because they look after the body, they look after the dog so well, in that sense, he says there, that you will get all the facilities there. The time, you don't have to do any work either. You can live comfortably here. So anything depends on the sankalpam inside. The sankalpam is the most important thing. What goes through our imaginations, how it happens. And so that is why he mentions there that yam yam vabhi smaran bhavam tejatyande kalevaram, that with whatever sankalpam that you are leaving this body. Whatever sankalpam, you are leaving this body. Tam tam evedi kaunteya sada tadbhava bhavida. You will get that bhavam. Tam tam evedi kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavida. That bhavam will be your next life. That's what Krishna is saying there. This rule you can't change. This rule you can't change. Because it is there in the Upanishads also. It's not only in Bhagavad Gita, it's also there in the Upanishads. Yadha kraduhu yadha kalpaha tad abhisampadyade. Upanishad says like that. So, according to your sankalpam or according to your bhavana, or according to your imaginations, what is going through your mind, next life will be, you will be pulled by Udana Vayu. You know the five Vayus inside, isn't it? Pranan, Apanan, Vyanan, Udanan, Samanan. Five of them. The Udanan is that Vayu which is conscious of these thoughts. Whatever imagination thoughts that comes at that time, Udana Vayu, Udanan is one of the five pranan, that will take the subtle body from inside with the jiva and will take you to that next destination where it has to go. And we have no freedom over these things. So, at that time, if you keep Krishna's photo in the front and all, it is not going to help. It's not going to help because photo all you can keep it there, but if that eyes close down, what will you do? You won't be able to look at the form. You see, what will happen is at the time of death, when the eyes are closed, inside, like a roll of film, it will start coming inside. All the thoughts, all the roll of film. It will start coming like a reel of film, isn't it? You will start seeing like that. Externally, you can provide all the arrangements. Garlands and tulsi leaf and burfi and the photograph and everything you can provide outside. But inside, this reel will start rolling inside based on your thoughts, what's happening inside. So you can even go and sit in the temple in front of the deity and leave your body there. It's not guaranteed that you will go back. Because that is how it works. The system is so complex that there is no use. So what is inside, it will come out. So what is inside is more important than what is outside you have arranged. What you have arranged here. That is why if you look into Bhagavadam, you will see there in front of Bhishma in the Mahabharata, Krishna, Yudhishthira and all the other Pandavas, they all went to see Bhishma who was lying on the bed of arrows. You know that. He went to see Bhishma who was lying on the bed of arrows. Bhishma saw them and tears started coming from Bhishma's eyes. And he asked Krishna, why have you come? There is a hint in that in the Bhishma Stuti. You will see there. Krishna says, this Yudhishthira is crying because he feels very bad about the Mahabharata war. He was responsible for the war and he felt that he is responsible for 6.4 million or 640 million people got killed. And he is so disturbed over that. So I have brought him here, he said. Please instruct him, he says to Bhishma. That's there in the Bhagavad. So that time, Bhishma says to Krishna, when you are there, do you want me to instruct him? It doesn't make any sense, isn't it? Bhishma is saying to Krishna, that Bhishma says, what can I... Krishna says to Bhishma, he doesn't trust me. Even Vedavyas instructed him, he doesn't trust him either. Therefore, I brought him here to you, he says. So at that time, what we have spoken, it's not working. Therefore, please, you should instruct, he says. Who says this? Krishna says to Bhishma, you should instruct him. And Bhishma at that time says to him like that, that you have come to cheat me, haven't you? Bhishma's words. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see what he says. In the first canto, in the 8th chapter, see what Krishna has to say. First canto, 8th chapter. Verse 46. Here it is said, Vyasadye Ishvare Ra Ishvare Hatye Krishnen Albhudakarmana Prabhodido Bihaser Nabhudhyadashucharpidaha Vyasadye Ishvare Hatye Krishnen Albhudakarmana Prabhodido Bihaser Nabhudhyadashucharpidaha. Then it says, Vyasadye Ishvare Hatye Krishnen Albhudakarmana. Even Vedavyasa Maharshi, who is a highly realized soul, who can see things at much deeper level, even he does not understand what decision Krishna has made. Krishna Albhuta Karmana, he says there. Whatever Krishna does is Albhuta Karma. Albhuta Karma means wonderful deed. That's what he has done. Vyasadye Ishvare Ajne Krishna Albhuta Karmana. Prabhodido bihaserna buddhyada shuchar na buddhyada shucharpita. He says here that, can you imagine, Krishna has instructed Yudhishthira, it didn't work. And Bhishma is going to instruct and it's going to work. How can it be? If Krishna has spoken something and if it hasn't happened, how can it happen that Bhishma instructs something and it works? Both Krishna and Arjuna had the same. Arjuna and Yudhishthira had the same problem. Arjuna's problem started before the war. Krishna spoke and he got released from that problem. Now Yudhishthira is crying because of the thing what he has done. He felt that he is responsible for the war and therefore he needed the treatment. And Arjuna said to Krishna, speak to him Bhagavad Gita and see if he can remove his misery from inside. Krishna says, I will try, but I don't think it will work, he said. Anyway, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira, and Yudhishthira sat there and slept whole time. One verse didn't go inside. Nothing happened. And then, after everything was over, Yudhishthira asked Krishna, have you finished now? Have you got anything more to say? Krishna understood the situation that it's not working. So he says, suppose if Bhishma tells you, will you understand? It said, basically what was the problem? Kartrutva. I am the doer. Arjuna suffered the same problem. Krishna managed to get rid of it from Arjuna, isn't it? Because of Kartrutvam, I am the doer. That's why Arjuna's problem was, I am doing, I am fighting, I am the one who is doing everything. Krishna made it very clear to him that you are not doing anything. You are not doing anything. Everything is happening through you. And that understanding, when Arjuna got it, he fought the war and nothing happened. Now Yudhishthira's problem is the same problem. Same problem Yudhishthira has got. I am responsible for the war. Because of that, all these people got killed. Kartrutva problem again. Remember, Kartrutva, Bhoktrutvam, Ragadvesham. These four things is material existence. So when he said that, Yudhishthira could not believe anything what Krishna said, although whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken again to him. Then Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying there, Vyasadye Ishware Rahajye Krishna Albhudakarmanaham Prabhodido Vidihaser Nabhudyada Shucharpidaham. Now, even Vedavyasa Maharshi could not understand what was happening there with Yudhishthira and Krishna. So they all followed Krishna. And the Pandavas, everybody followed Krishna going to Bhishma. Krishna asked Yudhishthira, if Bhishma tells you that you have not done anything wrong, you have not broken the principle of dharma, will you be satisfied? Immediately, Yudhishthira got angry with Krishna and says to him, you got him also killed in the war, haven't you? He said. Because he has forgotten that Bhishma hasn't left the body yet. He's lying on the bed of arrows. So Krishna told him, no, he hasn't left yet. He's still lying there. That was the last day. And that day, Krishna was supposed to come there with Yudhishthira. Krishna knew all these things and Bhishma was still lying there. On the 18th day Mahabharata war, but this is the 58th day this incident is happening. So they all together walk to Bhishma. And that is where this conversation happened. Prabodhido idihasir nabhudyada shucharpidaha. So here, the thing is this. So he says to him, to Bhishma, Krishna says, we have tried very hard, it's not working. Bhishma says, you have come to cheat me, yes, haven't you? He says to Krishna, that in order to instruct him, you are coming and standing in front of me, and through me, you are instructing him. Is it not? He said. Bhishma caught it straight away. You see, Bhishma understood the situation. Bhishma says to Krishna, you want to instruct him, but you are instructing him through me now, aren't you? He says to Krishna. That is why, and two things. Secondly, I am leaving the body and you wanted to see me. You wanted to see me. That is your mercy. Saying like that, it is that famous Bhishma Stuti in the Bhagavatam. Very famous Bhishma Stuti. Sai Tejan Kalevaram Yogi Muchade Kama Karma Bhi. That means, if I leave this body completely in your thoughts, then Muchade Kama Karma Bhi. I will escape from here. I know that. Bhishma says. And because you have decided to take me back, I know that's why you have come. Because the moment I saw you, you're coming, I understood that I'm finished. I don't have to come back. See how confident Bhishma was? Bhishma is saying to Krishna, as soon as I understood that you are coming, I knew the business was over. Life is over for me. I don't have to come back. Otherwise, Bhishma wasn't even sure that whether he'll have to come back again. So that's what he said to him. So he says to Krishna, as soon as I heard that you are coming to me, I understood that my business is over here. See that confidence in that Krishna's, that you gave me darshanam and seeing you, I am leaving the body. No other thoughts will come to me when you are right in front of me. No other thoughts can come in. That's why he mentions there,
Tejandi, Tejan Kalebaram Yogi, Muchade Kama Karma Bhi.
He says, Muchade Kama Karma Bhi means Kama Karma. That means some desire in some form, if there is anything left inside, it will not come out at that point and bring me back here again. If I have some desire inside, I have to come back. If I have some connection with anybody in this world, I have to come back. So imagine how sensitive the whole thing is, isn't it? That is why Krishna is saying there, Prajahadi Yada Kaman, second chapter, Sarvan Partha Manogadan, everything must go. You know that, don't you? That Sarvan Partha Manogadan. Just like when they have closing down sale, they'll put the board, isn't it? Everything must go. Then everything must go. That's what it is. That state, completely empty. Whole place has to be totally empty. So you can see these verses, these two verses, what we have seen. Andhakalecha mameva smarantitva kalebharam. Yaprayadi samadbhavam yadinastyatra samshaya. That is one side of the story. Other side is yamyamvabhi smaranbhavam tijatyande kalebharam tamtham evedi kaundaya sada tadbhava bhavida. If you keep these two verses always inside and follow that, what Krishna has spoken there, there is some possibility of escaping, of not coming back. Otherwise, back again. Continue the whole thing. So we'll stop there today and we'll continue next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So next Saturday, we'll have Guru Ashtagam here, Prabhupada's appearance day it is. We'll talk about Srila Prabhupada for some time and then we'll continue with the Bhagavad Gita again. Anjay.
Same time, yeah. Same time we'll start, I think 1 o'clock is okay.